participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Sure, they sure do.
Hey, Yanni.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'll tell your retarded brother with his great haircut to say his thing.
The weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
Yeah.
That was really good.
You know, that's called momentum.
You bet it is. I'm ready for the Friday show now.
Big Mo. Hey,
let's go.
That number something or the thing before the Casey Kasem. Hey, Joe, give it to us one more time.
The weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
Better.
Yeah.
I'm ready now.
Killer.
Wind it up and let it go.
This Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138.
What the hell's going on here? Oh, geez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Geez, I thought we were almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly. Boy, this is f***ing ponderous, man. Ponderous, f***ing ponderous.
Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. 2.
Number something or other.
Hi, this is Casey Kasem, and I gotta tell you, I never listened to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Number something or other.
It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a damn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a damn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. It's a god last damn time. I want somebody to use his f***ing brain to not come out of a damn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a f***ing dog dying.
Number something or other.
You've been drinking today.
Okay. Michael, you're on the air. Hi, God bless you.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, you just caught me in the middle of making a nice egg salad.
Ooh.
Hold on.
Egg salad is good.
Yeah.
I like egg salad.
Listen, I want to compliment you guys on the show. Tell me, there's a show that I've heard when I was in Washington, D.C. It was a show called Jew to Jew. Do you guys know those guys? It's Dr. Ronald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. They have a similar show to yours. I don't know if you're familiar with it,
no, but I
like both shows. I think the four of you should get together.
I'm happy to hear that there's another show like ours. That's great. Jew to the Jew. Now,
it's called Jew to Jew.
They're believers.
Yeah, well, the guys, they're hilarious. They're always arguing, and before you know it, there's laughter ensues. Like that. Anyway,
yeah.
I have a question. It's about my sister-in-law. She decided that when her son is born, she doesn't want to have a circumcision. She's afraid that if they remove the foreskin, that they might maybe slip and slice the sac or something like this. I don't know what her problem is, but what could I say to her?
Are you born again?
Where's your BM detector now?
Oh, I like it. I like it. Hey, this is great. We're being persecuted by a Jew. Praise the Lord. And he's belching on the radio to show how wonderful he is. Oh, that's great. So you don't like Jesus, huh?
He's fine. How's your team?
Isn't that great? Okay. Well, good. God bless you, brother.
I love you.
I'm praying for you. That was a live phone call of a guy that had nothing else to do.
I had a feeling he was going someplace
crazy. Yeah, me too. but that's okay.
It's Don and Mike on the Pike next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno style show. Hooters of Rockville. That's how I roll.
All right, Brad, tape's rolling. Let's go ahead and give this thing a shot from the top, if you would, please.
Okay. It's the Don and Mike Show, starring... Hold on, is it Don and Mike, or is it Don and Mike?
Whichever. Whichever one you feel comfortable with is fine.
Okay. It's the Don and Mike Show, starring Michael Sorce as...
Sorry, it's Michael Source. Michael Source as Don Geronimo.
Gotcha.
Go ahead and take it from the top. We're still rolling.
Okay. It's the Don and Mike Show, starring Michael Source as Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara as Mike O'Mara, co-starring Michael Elliston? What kind of name is that?
I don't know. He's from Kansas or someplace. I think it's actually pronounced Elston.
All right. Co-starring Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank and Rob Spiewak as King Kong, with John Norman and Slow Joe Ardinger as Joe, the world's oldest phone screener.
Okay, Brad, that's great. Thanks very much. All we have to do now is put a cheesy music bed underneath it, and we'll just send it off to him.
Cool. What is this for again?
You know, it's Don and Mike Show. They're on Free FM 106.7 JFK Afternoon Drive.
Oh, those guys. Yeah, I hate those guys.
All right, that's from Rick Hornick.
That is fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hello!
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah, that's right, we are.
Hello!
Hi there. Who's there?
Hi, this is Robert the Mailman.
Oh, yeah. That's right. How about our other black friend? Colette Harris.
You rob. You what? I hate you. I hate your big, fat, bald head. Ass.
Yeah. There you go. Both of them founding members of Parliament. They're wonderful.
Hello.
We'll start the show today.
Hello.
Harlow Men.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi there. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Hi there.
Wow. This is Robert Ingram Mailman for the Don and Mike Show.
Who he?
Exactly. Uh-oh. Look out, everybody.
Whoa, look out.
Look out. Here he comes. He's quite the monster.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Hey, pussy!
Honest of a Kong!
You ever heard of Rob?
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Oh, there he is. There he hits it off.
He's mentally retarded.
There he comes, walking on his hands.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
How's your? How's your parliament?
It's funky.
Great cigarettes.
Yeah. White boy.
You bet they are.
Really white good boy. Cigarettes.
They're good cigarettes. Good for you.
Smooth and mild and easy on the throat. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Golly Goddammit, all the ships at sea. Enjoy tales of Don's losses and Mike's devasses. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. I don't know. His microphone doesn't sound quite right, but
no. It's another day, another adventure.
He's a secondary player, Mike, so it really doesn't matter.
As long as these microphones work.
Hey, well,
that's right.
Yeah, we just chatted. That is absolutely right. As you can tell by the smell, Don and Mike Show right here, and it's a new episode, everybody, on this Friday.
Friday,
right. 0819-06.
Hi, Donna Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
He's a local boy.
Yes.
He's just terrific. He's our new leader. He's like too much.
And like too much what?
He's one of the truly great swingers of all time.
Clean, too.
Yeah.
Buzz Burbank.
Absolutely crystal clean. 100%.
100%. This is the Donna Mike Show. And here's the phone number from anywhere in America or Canada. 877-365-3636. We don't give out the number a lot. Well, when you hear the calls, you'll see why.
Right, yeah.
But also, in my mind, I've always thought it's a sign of desperation when you hear a disc jockey over and over. Don't forget the number 555-TALK. That's 555-2727. And if you're on the line right now, hey, Mike, please hold on during these commercials. You're the only call I have, so stay on the line. We do have a line open now.
We'll come right back to you after the commercial break.
Lines are open. I see we have two people on hold right now. 555-TALK. No. We give it out, and if you care enough to find the number, you'll call.
That's right.
Yeah. Right, Rob.
It's Listener Appreciation Day.
It is. It's Open Line Friday.
We're going to turn the show over to you. Hope you enjoy the cafe.
Whatever you want to talk about for all 4 hours. It's your show on Friday.
What a all skate.
And a lot of crap that is. You can call us. We take your calls at 877-365-3636. You can hear our show on the internet. Go to our website, dynamicwebsite.com. Just click on Listen Live, and there it is, just like magic.
Thank you.
You can also get daily segments that you can download on our website. And if you can navigate your way through the world of iTunes,
that's tough.
They're telling me that it's been updated. If you put Don ampersand Mike, that's the little squiggly thing with the thing down the middle.
Why does it look like that?
Because it's CBS, because it's free FM.
So why does the ampersand look like that?
It's fun. Oh, you mean why historically does the ampersand? I don't know.
That's what I was looking for. I was looking at a frustrated I don't know. That's what I was. You gave me what I wanted right there. I was asking you a question I knew you couldn't answer.
Very good. I'm proud of you, Colin. Thanks for not jumping up with that. It's Veli, do you know?
I have an idea, but I'm not sure.
Well, then I don't think you should be able to volunteer.
I agree.
I was asking him.
But I asked him. But I asked him.
Do you know?
Yes, I do.
Well, then, good for you.
Good for you.
I'm lying.
If you go to iTunes and you put Don Ampersand Mike and you subscribe, which sounds like you're buying something, but you're really not, you can get the show downloaded to your iPod every day. All kinds of crazy segments.
You're not buying anything. You're just getting access to our fine sponsors. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm off the wagon.
Well, that's one.
I'll drink to that.
There you go. There's our salute to you. Here's another salute to you, sir.
I'm on my second beer.
What?
See, he's off the wagon.
I wait 7 weeks, and I'm off the wagon.
I misunderstood. He's off
the wagon.
Oh, he had been. He had been
off the wagon.
Oh,
you get on the wagon.
Oh,
and some of us are never able to find the wagon.
No, some of us aren't. Now I'm off the wagon, and I'm hitching a ride.
Yeah, and 7 weeks you were sober?
Yep.
What are you drinking today?
Bud Ice.
Bud Ice, how many you had?
Hey, listen, no offense.
I'm working on 10.
Wow, that's like a 12 pack.
No offense.
What?
I mean, that's like if you haven't eaten for... I don't want to piss off a client. But I would say, generally speaking, if you had not had something that you had... really wanted and for whatever reason couldn't have it, you were going to go back to it. I mean,
it might be his flavor.
I'm sure it's his favorite.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. And
is that your flavor? Is Bud Ice your flavor?
Yeah, but I can't drink any other kind of beer. Yeah, I can't.
I knew it.
No.
I knew
okay.
It.
Well, then.
It's his flavor.
It's the champagne of beers.
Some people, Pabst is their flavor, you know? Is Pabst still made? Do they think so?
They still make Pabst Blue Ribbon? Right. As I was say, you know, like, if you're going to go off the wagon, go all the way. Go down to the liquor store and buy that, whatever that Remy Martin stuff is.
Well, you know how
that's
I knew.
Behind the case. Have you seen those, if you go into the ABC store?
The cognac?
Yeah, the liquor stores that are run by the state of Virginia, there is a bottle of cognac behind glass with a big lock and key that's like $1,700.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And the reason I knew it was this guy's flavor is because he's old enough. You see, when we're kids, we buy whatever we can get. Oh, whatever's cheap, you see, it doesn't matter.
But listen, if you're going to make the jump back in, I mean, so you're not jump in the deep end.
But you're not a beer guy, per se, are you? You don't drink beer.
No, I do not.
Well, there you go.
I do not, but...
I mean, I drink everything, but I like to think of myself as a beer drinker.
Well, for instance, if I was going to get back into the world of recreational drugs, I would jump right to heroin.
Your favorite?
Always has been.
I've heard good things.
I've never even tried it. But,
you don't know what you're missing.
But, you know, I would just leapfrog right to the front of the line. Same thing with food. If I was on some type of a starvation diet and, you know, it came to the end, am I going to have a peanut butter on a cracker? No. You know, give me your finest caviar.
You know, I never thought much about heroin until I watched The Sopranos with Christopher, and he sold me.
Yeah.
Wow, he really sold me on it.
Makes it look good.
Mike, listen.
He looks so relaxed. Heroin gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
Doesn't
it make models skinny, too?
I was just going to see. Have you ever seen a really fat heroin addict?
No.
Okay.
Great for weight.
Who, Rob?
Rob's
feedback. Rob.
Heroin. It's like
that's
a fat
funny.
Dog. You slow the metabolism down any further, you're going to kill it.
That's funny. All right, so you are, in fact, off. I thought you were calling in to claim your sobriety today, when, in fact, I was screwed up. You said the exact opposite. You've started drinking. Your drink of choice is the fabulous Bud Ice.
Right. Bud Ice.
Yep.
You know what? I'll tell you another thing. He likes Bud Ice because it's got a little more ink to it. It's got a little bit of the alcohol in it.
More alcohol per beer, yes.
Oh, it's like malt liquor.
Malt liquor.
Yeah. Like malt liquor.
What's it taste like?
What's the percentage, do you know?
I'm not...
5.5.
Rock and roll.
It's a malt beverage.
Those are your new lucky numbers, my friend. 5.5. Always play those numbers in Vegas.
And you're hitchhiking?
5.5.
I think they came out with ice. I think ice came out because they weren't selling enough of the malt liquor. And malt liquor wasn't selling enough, so they went with the ice name to sell.
I believe that malt liquor was...
This is Robert, the angry mailman for the Don's and Mike show.
Marketed towards a different segment of the audience.
Billy D. Williams was selling it to who?
When Kool and the Gang would come through the wall with a bull, when it was like Fred J. Sanford having a party with Lamont, and suddenly the bull would come through and Kool and the Gang would come into the room and sing?
That would be the Schlitz malt liquor.
Liquor bowl.
Guess what?
Advertising works.
And
radio can work for you.
I'm suddenly thinking of Mr. 40. He had a lot of different unique flavors of malt liquor.
Anything in a
whatever was on sale.
He had something
that was something red. Something that was red that he drank
his
tons
eyes.
Of. His eyes. But his 40s had like red something. It was a red in the title.
Well, listen, Red Neckerson, we got to go. Good luck with the rest of your day.
You know what the worst part is?
Yeah, go ahead, tell us.
I'm in law enforcement.
And you're hitchhiking.
Well, that's if you're in law enforcement, you're supposed to get done with your shift and get drunk.
Well, I you know, it happens.
Yeah, but I mean, don't feel bad about it. You sound like you're beating yourself up.
What kind of law enforcement are you in?
I can't really say.
Come on, I'll give you a couple of tries. Are you a regular cop? Are you a state cop? Are you a Barney Fife cop?
And then I want to ask him if he's HF like me.
I'm a U.S. Marshal.
Are you HF?
The UHF, Mike, you might think you're talking about TV.
No, HF. Are you HF, sir?
Let's say again?
Are you HF?
What's that mean?
Oh. It's what's gotten me through a 20-year broadcasting career.
High functioning.
Thank you.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Good for you.
If you're a federal marshal, you do have to be high functioning.
Yeah, right. I take the train home, and on the train ride home,
I want to say something. You are a disgrace to Tommy Lee Jones. as you know, he's the most famous U.S. marshal of all time. He got Richard Kimball in The Fugitive, and then got Wesley Snipes in the fabulous follow-up U.S. Marshals.
I used to play golf with a federal marshal down on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and this guy, we'd play golf all the time, and a friend of mine said to me, we knew he was a U.S. marshal, and the one guy told me early on when I was playing with this guy, he said, don't be surprised if Wes, you know, has to just blow out of here. He'll get on his golf cart and he'll take his bag off. Like if you got two golf carts on a bag, he'll put it on somebody else's and he'll take his golf cart and he will go. And I saw him do it one time. And you never asked him where he went. He would be on call to do, you know, to do that bad guy stuff.
Nice to know that this is the man that we've got in that position.
Do you know who he looked like?
Who? Do you remember Tiger Woods' old caddy Fluff?
Yeah. Oh, the fat guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he looked like. Didn't look anything like a, you know, you would think a law enforcement guy would look like.
Did he hide a gun in his mustache?
Yeah, he hit.
Well, listen, you better call
he
in.
He had
with,
guns everywhere.
You better call in with a blue flu or something.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm on my way home now, so.
I love the blue flu.
Okay.
Walk
carefully. All right, well, good luck.
Thank you.
Catch bad guys, please.
All right.
Not to be confused with the actor's flu.
Try to ignore those that are doing like 65. make that perhaps the deal that you make with yourself.
I know.
If you're about falling off the wagon today, say over the weekend out there, and where are you calling from?
Earth.
Where?
Earth.
Earth.
No. Just what?
No, I can't tell you.
What part of the country?
Near D.C.
Near D.C. Well,
now, are you the kind of?
If I give my location, I'm in trouble.
Are you the kind of federal marshal where you're on call and you have to be, like, on a plane sometimes to go somewhere?
No, that's an air marshal.
No, I'm talking about, like, to do your federal marshal stuff. Do you have to, like, travel all over the world?
Well, you know, if someone gets locked, you know, if we were to pick up somebody somewhere, mm-hmm. then yes.
Like that dangerous character in Bangkok. Incidentally, who called it yesterday? Well, yes. I think I gave it a 50-50 shot.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the news stories, today's where all the news broke about your theory.
It's
not over yet.
That he's just making it up.
Yeah, but I mean, now it's you know, there's a lot of doubt now. There wasn't yesterday when you were talking about it.
He's an obsessed nut.
What is the deal with DNA? Get his DNA.
Right.
Isn't that the slam dunk? I mean, just get it. And if it's not DNA, he's making it up.
Somebody call William Peterson. Call Peterson. Just send him in there with his swab.
Hello. Ramses, this is William Peterson
from CSI.
Make sure you have that Mr. Carr out front with a lock of his hair and a swab. We'll check his DNA.
Hey, it's me, George Eads.
You know what pissed me off is the FBI profile I saw that said, you know, he looked like he might be making up the answers. That's the same crap. They did. Now, I agree with you. I think you should definitely have doubt as to whether this guy's guilty. You said it before. Today, that's the story of the day. That is the story of the day. But you know what? I'm like, if it's the DNA, the DNA will prove it. Otherwise, I think the guy is just what they said. He's right. Just a wacko.
And that worries me as well, because how tough would it be to get somebody, one of these many special agents that they're patting on the back,
right,
to get this guy, to get this creep to loogie into a cotton swab.
Then you expedite it and you get
put it on a plane, FedEx it over here. You know what I'm saying? Johnny Lickety Split American spirit and everything, and you get that stuff right away.
Are they nervous because he's in Siam?
Siam. Rob loves to call Thailand.
Siam.
We don't call it that anymore.
Siam.
Rob's world, you do.
I do.
He likes the country. He likes the cats. He likes the twins.
Anyway, good luck, I guess.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you. I'm peeing outside my vehicle right now. Thank you.
Okay.
Peeing outside his vehicle.
Stay classy, San Diego. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
My boys. What's
Howdy.
Going on?
Howdy.
Hey, I wanted to let Mike know that Pabst is actually the fourth highest selling domestic beer in America, and I have a taste for it right now.
My boy.
What is the fourth?
Pabst.
That is
Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer.
Pabst is a go-to beer, man.
I also wanted to let him know we're petitioning everybody here in Maine for the first official Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara Day. We're going to get you up here, and we'll get you drunk Portland style.
Don knows that's the type of thing that I really will, like, latch on to. Yeah. You go ahead. You get the ball rolling, and I'll fly up there.
Don and Mike show.
I even know what the flight number is.
Hello.
Gentlemen, it's up to the internet.
What? Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
I was calling because I was wondering if you had heard about the situation with the Little League pitcher who walked the best pitcher on the team just to get to the kid who survived cancer.
Oh, hold on a second. Maybe I did read about this somewhere that they okay, what was the point of it, though? I thought it was like a feel-good.
No, it wasn't a feel-good. Basically, what had happened was they walked the best player on the team to get to this kid who had just survived cancer, and the week before had gone to see the president from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Was the kid like...
And then when he got up there, did they, like, throw high-hard ones at him, or did they underhand it to him?
Hit him?
No, they struck him out. They were trying
Oh, God.
To...
You know what? Okay, then. This is why they get you on TV. I saw the tease for this where they said, a story with an ending that you won't soon forget involving this famous young boy and Little League, you know, World Series, whatever. Is that what it is? The part of the Little League World Series qualifying for it or something like that?
Exactly. And what happened was it was the best player on the team. They intentionally walk him and get to get to this kid.
Oh.
And they bean him like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, so God, I wish I would have stayed with it. Oh, my God.
Did they interview the coach, the manager?
They interviewed the coach. Yeah. They interviewed the dad. The team celebrating because now they get to go to the world to the Little League World Series.
Yeah, right.
Ed's jumping up and down, interviewing the dad, and the dad was like, he just survived cancer, and now he has to live through this.
Yeah, well, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, God.
All right, guys.
Wow.
All
right, see you later.
I'm not even remotely surprised by that. That is typical of those guys. You ever see those coaches in the Little League World Series? You ever see those guys?
Can't fault them, Mike.
Exactly.
You play to win.
Now, you've lived with lots of those coaches.
You play to win.
You have lived with
those
coaches.
Little Johnny, come here. Little Johnny, come here. Now.
I remember Bart's basketball.
I'm looking over there. I can't tell with their hats on. Which one of the kids had cancer? Let me see which one. Number 7? Okay, when's he coming up? Okay, beautiful. Okay. All right, you see the guy that looks like Big Poppy? Just walk him. Walk him, walk him, walk him.
You'd come in every weekend you would come in when Bart was playing basketball, and you would have had, like, you would have come that close to a fist fight over the weekend. And not because you were the parent that was, like, getting, you know, come on, Johnny, do the job. You were yelling at the coach who was, a little type A.
And ended up being the coach myself until the parents all revolted, because how come Johnny's not playing X number of minutes? You know,
right.
Hey, because they're 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
because they're 8 year olds. Right. So they're on the mound. I'm imagining this now. This is the manager out there. Now listen, see this kid? I want to tell you something. He's all that stands between us and the Little League World Series. Now, he's frail. He's weak. He's had cancer. Look at him. He looks like a stick figure.
You throw that ball harder than you've ever thrown it before.
I want that catcher's mitt to be burning.
And before you do that, knock him down. Go ahead. Knock him down. Now,
just
don't throw
him
too far inside because you'll take his head clean off. He's that frail.
Just brush him back.
Brush him back. Give him a little chin music. All right, yeah, make him hit the dirt, and then, you know, all you have to do is throw it right down the middle. He won't hit it.
We're doing the same thing as when we had that retarded kid in the series last year.
His reaction time is going to be too slow because of the chemo. Come on, go ahead, throw it right down the middle.
Oh, we win!
We win! Way to go, boys!
Yes!
Way to go! Let's go to Pizza Hut!
We win!
I hate cancer.
Thanks, Rob. You are bold and outspoken.
No, yes, indeed.
Don't you see the root of that problem?
Hello.
That's right. I understand.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, David Crosby, alleged fat heroin addict.
Yep.
That's
okay.
Right.
Hey,
all right.
Thank you. Yeah, but you know what? Is it really fair to bring up David Crosby? Didn't David Crosby really, if it was in front of him, he'd do it?
And also, isn't he really half monkey?
Well, now he is.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's baboon.
Before we get to more of your phone calls... Because open line Friday 555 talk. Blah, 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 blah. We do want to talk to Tommy about going to jail, maybe.
Yeah.
Tom Gavin. And I have news for all of you boys and all of you people in the Beach Town Club about Jessica Rabbit.
What?
Got an email from her today, and I know nobody else received it.
Oh.
Because it says so right here.
Right.
Subject, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Said this morning, 11:25.
What's up?
I received your message yesterday. Very funny. Remember, we called her yesterday.
Yes,
it was
funny.
My meeting that was scheduled for early this morning has been rescheduled for noon. Unfortunately, I'm not going to make it in time to visit you guys.
What?
Don't get bummed out.
Okay. Oh, no.
I will be there Monday for sure.
Oh, man.
I am taking the day off to come visit you. Now, don't you feel special?
Yes.
To talk to the crew. I know you guys are slammed busy, comma. Maybe we can grab a bite or something after the show. Keep me posted.
Just a small bite.
And then here's a part that's never been on the air before.
Yeah.
Tell Bart I said hello. I'm sure he's ready to kick my ass because I've been a little distant.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't too awkward for me. I didn't feel too old.
Yeah. She knows your son.
I didn't feel too old when my son was dating one of the people that worked at the radio station.
Right.
Well, he's 20.
Yeah.
At the time, he's 21 now. He was 20 at the time.
She's 20-ish.
Yeah, she's 20-whatever-ish.
Yeah,
let me see.
9.
2012.
You know, we never even mentioned that. I'm sure, I try not to involve Bart so much in the show anymore, partly because it's his life now is he's an adult. There's really nothing to tell you about. He's 21. He's going through the things that, regular 21-year-olds go through. But it was awkward when he was briefly dated. They were friends, Jessica
was
Rabbit.
There, was there more than one date?
Yeah, they went out a couple of times, you know, and he asked me if I was okay with it. I said, sure. I said, just, you know, even if you're just friends, you know, don't bring her home.
Right.
I mean,
too awkward.
Yeah, I can't be coming home and see, oh, there's, oh, look, there's Jessica from work having a cocktail with my son.
Or breakfast, perhaps.
In a robe.
Yeah, in a robe. Yeah. So anyway, right.
So where did he bring her?
I have no idea, Mike. Oh, they met somewhere.
Motel.
That's all I know. Tell Bart I said hello. I'm sure he's ready to kick my ass because I've been distant. This job has not been the easiest transition when it comes to having a life. Take care, and I'll see you Monday. And by the way, since you are the chosen one, I'm not emailing the others. Have a great weekend, Jess. XOXO.
Well, that settles it. There you go.
Game, set, match.
You win.
Favorite.
Where the son was, the father shall go.
Yuck. Oh. I think I saw a movie about that once.
Yuck. No, I'm sure that they are just friends. That's what I'll keep saying to myself.
Why not? Right.
They're just friends.
Just a...
They're just but there's a way you say that that makes it sound like they're not such a...
You know what they always say that in Hollywood. You know, we're not really dating. We're just
right.
good friends.
We're
and
just...
I'm simply quoting that.
Just good friends.
Right.
Oh, what a sweet time this is right now, incidentally, for me. I know Mike's jacked up because the Red Sox are on virtually every day for the next 5 days against the Yankees.
I'm not that jacked up.
Are they losing right now?
They were when I came down here. It was 3-1.
I'll check.
But all I know is that there's football on every night.
And it's getting better. The football gets exponentially better as the starters stay in longer, right?
Yeah. The worst week to watch is the fourth week when nobody plays. But now you're getting guys playing a full half. Next week, they'll almost all of them play the whole game.
You say the fourth week, is that the week before they all start the regular season?
Right. Okay. So you've got a game on tonight. You've got the game on Sunday night. You game on a game on TV Monday night. I'm going back to the Redskins game tomorrow night. You know, I didn't, because I was so bummed out about Frieda last year,
right.
And because the Redskins tickets were a gift that Frieda gave to me, and it was really a great concession on Frieda's part. She put up with my obsession with football, but to actually go to the stadium, and because I could get passes and junk, I would show up for a 1 o'clock game. I would get to the stadium at 9 o'clock in the friggin' morning,
right?
And it would not be unusual that I would just leave her. I mean, she had a pass. But she wouldn't want to walk. She said, I'll just sit on the couch and read the newspaper.
Well, new listeners of the show might not remember that you used to do the pregame show for the Redskins on the radio station. You also, at one point, you did a play-by-play. Well, color cast.
Color, yeah. So I was able to walk around on the field and just, you know, be like a swinging dick. And
pay homage to Sonny Jurgensen.
And it's one of those things that that Frieda and I, even after I stopped doing that show, we would continue to do together, and she would partially do it always to remind me when she wanted to do something that I wouldn't want to do. She would say, well, you know, I went to the game with you.
Right.
And I would say, well, if you don't want to go to the game, you know, there's a list of 100 people who would like to go. And sit in the chair. But it was such an experience that she and I would share.
Yeah, she ended up digging it when she went to the game.
Yeah, she did. She really liked it. And after she passed away, I didn't go to one game last year. It was just,
yeah.
I didn't feel like I gave most of my tickets to Rob, as a matter of fact. But I'm going to start going again this year. So Janet and I are going tomorrow night. So I'm excited about that. I mean, it's football everywhere. Football always. Football on TV constantly. Go to the game tomorrow night. Watch it again on Sunday night. Watch it again on Monday night.
Now, with the Redskins, as far as the home fans, they charge, what, double for exhibition games, for preseason games, than the regular season? Isn't that the deal they have working now?
It's costing me a toe.
Oh, a toe. So they're actually taking the body parts.
A toe.
He went with that. After he sold all the advertising space he could, he went with the body parts.
A toe. What, Robbie?
I just wanted to tell you, when you go there, enjoy the pregame.
Oh, yeah, you got screwed this year, right?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
I mean, that was one of your... Well, you kind of got that at the same time Dom was doing the pregame show. You got that.
Yeah, I've been doing it for six seasons.
Thank you. You know, I only remember... We've gone to just a few games over the years, and you've taken me, and I appreciate it, but the best part was the one game we were at when you had said on the air, look at his bald spot. And
on the Jumbotron out at FedEx Field.
And, you know, the best part, really the best part of the game, was just waiting for you on the Jumbotron.
Always
it was straight,
my,
straight down.
Always my favorite part. Again,
this is why Rob is so Rob. He would at no charge, mm-hmm. the Redskins would give him a parking pass, give him a pass to get on the field. He would show up, and he would come out, and he would be the guy who introduced the guy mm-hmm. who introduced the players. But he would actually get to stand on the field.
Get to introduce the band. And again, you know, you talk about it. It's fun to be able to
yeah.
walk around, be on the field, and be all around it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best was when you had that flu or whatever you had with your voice, where your voice...
I don't recall.
And when Rob would be out there, the Redskins would give him the Jivis scripts. I mean,
yes.
Rob would show me before the game, yeah. like he would say, like, hey, fans, are you ready to stand up to the Titans today? And it was like, it's the Jivis, the most elementary stuff. Right. And he would be out there like he was at WWE, and his voice booming, and nobody in the stands
Great sounds.
Really paying attention. So it's just Rob times 1,000 with his voice, and on the Jumbotron, just his head.
Handsome.
Do you remember when he got in trouble for announcing the opposition teams too enthusiastically?
Yeah, yep. He spoke to me about that.
And then the next week, he took the direction to heart so much that he would announce the others.
I remember what it was. Starting for the Chicago Bears. Curtis Enos.
They love that.
Lifeless.
I will remember one thing that they told me. I think it was about 4 or 5 seasons ago. They said, Rob, you're doing a great job.
What a bunch of asshats.
And when you're doing the pregame stuff, just don't mention Coach Schottenheimer.
Really?
Yeah. It was a bad time for that. But
big jerk offs.
Good so luck. Anyway, now I'm just a paying customer.
Right.
So, you know, I had to tell Janet, you hopped on the train at the wrong time. No.
Yeah.
No passes.
No longer with the radio station.
No, at the up in the suites and everything else. We'll have to go to Baltimore to get our asses kissed by a football team. But I'm looking forward to it.
What were those tapes that Joe handed you there, Rob?
They're not what you're looking for.
No, oh, really?
No, they're
oh, see, tapes. I thought you were hiding. I was giving you a hard time.
I would have loved to have heard that.
We played that once or twice.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK. And I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Let me hear you.
What do you say, fans? What do you say, Jack? Oh, I love it. And then here's the other part.
What?
It was always great fun.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times, Frida, because we had 3 seats for a while when Bart was at college,
right.
We'd always ask Rob to come up and sit with us during the game.
Right.
So it'd be Frida and I and Rob sitting there. And when they would get, because Rob had the entire script, the Redskins, like all football teams, have everything scripted out, all the giveaways, all of the goddamn advertisements that they bombard you with.
Right.
Rob is sitting there with the scripts, and it was almost like in Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray knows every answer on Jeopardy.
What's
going to happen next?
Yeah. So we're sitting there, and it's just the 3 of us, and everybody else in our section. And I said real loud to Rob, I said, hey, Rob, can't you predict what's going to happen? And I stopped a couple of the people in my section, very nice people, and said, watch the amazing Rob.
I said, because they were...
And they had no clue.
Like the end of the first quarter, I said real loud so everyone in the section could hear. I said, wouldn't it be great if Section 423 won pizzas?
Now this stops everybody.
Yeah.
Because this is before it even happens. I say, this man... is a sage. I'm telling you, he sees the future. Wait 5 minutes. So we wait and we wait. And sure enough, that cheesy commercial comes on the Jumbotron where the guy pretends like he's running into the stadium with the pizza. And when they announce Section 423, everybody turns around and looks at Rob for just that half second like someone who saw Jesus Christ in a piece of wheat toast.
How do you know?
And they fired me, the man who knew where the pizza was.
Did they fire you nicely or were they...
They were actually very cordial.
Screw them. Screw them.
We always want, you know, frankly, we said screw them when they were even on our radio station.
Yeah. Screw that little midget,
right.
Dan Snyder. You know what the guy did?
He's all-American hump.
He is just such a tool. He wanted all of the money.
He has most of the money.
His mantra. He wanted all of the money for the radio broadcasts for the Redskins. And the station that we work on, WJFK here in D.C., was paying... $10 million a year. That's
crazy.
More than any team in the National Football League was getting.
Right.
Worth it!
Yeah, right. Really worth it. So you had people, like, busting their asses. That's why the... I mean, God, when the games were on WJFK, it was like, That First Down is brought to you by Subway. Hey, look. Hey, there's Mark Brunell picking his balls. Hey, speaking of balls, have you been out to Dick's Sporting Goods?
Right. And I mean, don't forget, they actually double-sponsored the Game Time Temperature. Remember, the Lennox Game Time Temperature was brought to you by McDonald's.
Yeah, that was one of the... They actually might have innovated that.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
because
they did.
They were
brilliant.
Desperate to make the money up to pay the rights.
Yeah. So what happens is, at the end of this last season... You know, the company, well, you know how CBS Radio is now from how we've been describing it,
right.
Big sinking ship, and they're just hemorrhaging money, and they said, well, we can't pay $50 million for, you know, a football team to play the games on the radio. So Snyder said, well, okay, screw you. You know what I'm going to do? Because I'm a little rich, and I'm a big, powerful man, no matter what anybody says. I'm going to buy 3 radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put the Redskins on my radio stations and F everybody else.
Well, we're screwed.
Well, here's the problem. The guy picked a radio station that one of them, which is about 50 miles from D.C.,
uh-huh.
Another one that's about 50 miles from D.C. and the other way,
right.
And one that you can kind of hear in Washington, D.C., except as soon as it gets dark, did they have to turn their power
off? Which during football season, it does rather early.
Well, be careful of the 4 o'clock games and the Monday night games.
Yeah.
Because they're toast.
Yeah, I mean, there is just, if you're an advertiser out there and you had been buying ads with the Redskins, I mean, at this point, I don't know how much Snyder is charging for an ad, but really you should go to him and you should say, I want pennies on the dollar. Because I'm going to find out tomorrow night when I go to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really going to try to find the Redskins came on the radio.
People have tried.
I'm not going to be able to.
Well, he has a theory that people...
And it's going to ruin it for me because, you know, I love Larry.
Yeah, I know.
I love Larry. I was always behind the Get Rid of Frank thing. I was there from day number one saying, man, Larry's the guy.
Right.
You got to boot Herzog, get Herzog's tired ass out of there. Whatever you do, keep Sam. That's what I said from day one.
Because right. Sam is
keep
the
Sam.
Sam is the real broadcaster.
Keep Sam.
Quarterback.
Wow.
Oh, good luck to him.
Sam Huff, Hall of Fame linebacker, who we are friends with, so we got to be...
Greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
We got to go easy on Goofit on Sam.
Ah, he knows we love him.
But,
And John Norman worked with him, so John knows him better than anybody.
One of my best memories of Sam from, I guess, the last year we had the rights, or 2 years ago,
right.
Because I didn't go last year. I was up in the booth watching these guys call the game, and at one point, the play was over, okay? And they were getting ready for the next play, and they were showing the replay on the big screen. And Herzog or Larry is doing whatever we did. That's the play-by-play guy. Is saying, well, that was quite a play for the Redskins as they went. And Sam Huff says,
hey, hold on. They're running the exact same play.
He's watching the replay.
Yeah.
And they don't say to him, you're watching the replay. This is part of the beauty of listening to these clowns on the radio, is that he doesn't realize that he's not watching. And everybody that was in the studio, in the broadcast thing there in the stadium.
It's something that would literally require him to shift his eyeballs a millimeter to the left.
Everybody on this
field, yeah.
To see the field, yes.
Everybody on this very hot day, and of course he was wearing his tweed, his tweed, goddamn, I'm a horse owner jacket.
I don't sweat.
And drinking hot coffee.
I don't sweat.
Yeah, on the hottest day. We're watching a replay and commenting on a replay on a play that had just happened because he thought they called the same play twice in a row.
Hey, can we...
And I'm going to miss that now.
I know.
I'm going to miss that now.
I hear it. I know we're friends and all, and I'm going to ask you this in a very careful way here because I don't even know if we talked about it or not. Can we talk about, and maybe it was last season or the season before, when there was a little ruckus?
We talked about that when Sam...
I thought we were like sworn to secrecy.
No, we talked about that when Sam took a swing at a guy. We talked about that, right, John?
John? The other way around, but yes, there was fists a-flying.
But they had to hold Sam back, though, right?
Well, the guy got in his face and threatened to kill him, and Sam was going out of the box after him.
Yeah. You know, to this day, I would not mess with Sam.
No. Oh, no, Sam, I don't care how old he is, he's still a scary man.
Linebacker.
Right.
I tell you, it still hurts to get hit by a linebacker.
Yeah. And the reason he is, he's got that NFL mean that they had back then.
See, and what's so sad is that Sam, God bless him, he's just... He's dense in a lot of ways. What I mean is that I'm sure he doesn't understand the fact that now no one will be able to hear him call the games on the radio.
Right.
I think that Sonny gets that. Sonny Jurgensen is enough of a broadcaster. He understands now that he might as well be standing outside the stadium with a megaphone like Rudy Valli in order to hear people. Like, you know,
well, Larry, I think Brunel should have thrown the down and out.
Well, he understands it, and Larry doesn't care if anybody's listening, because Larry's voice is so goddamn loud, they're going to hear him in Thailand.
Larry only wants the owner to hear him. That's all he cares about. But the deal is this, that the owner of the Washington Redskins wanted to buy, you know, once nobody was going to pay his rate
right.
to get the rights to the Redskins, he decided to go out and get his radio stations. The problem is, a lot of these radio stations, in fact, most of them, majority of them, are controlled by major broadcasting companies that are going to hold on to their good signals and in the market. He didn't have any stations he could buy.
He had to buy these POS stations.
Right.
And now it's like he's having a pissing match with everybody in town, saying to the broadcasters, you know, hey, I don't need you guys. I bought my own stations.
Hired tons of people.
Yeah, you know, and meanwhile, you know, you can't hear these stations.
Right.
And God forbid that they win a couple of games this year. People are going to be mighty pissed off if they don't hear Sam commenting on the replays. And
don't worry about that.
Well, you know what they'll do? They'll sell advertising because it's the Redskins.
Hold on just a second. This, I swear to God, I'm not talking out of my ass.
Okay.
I know, and I can't tell you how I know, but from someone in the sales community,
right,
that after week number one, advertisers were contacting them to say...
So they were hip to it.
Advertisers said, hey, I was like 5 miles outside the stadium, and I could not pick up the game.
Right.
I would like some type of rebate.
Right.
Okay, good. For the exorbitant money.
I didn't know that happened.
It's already happening after week number one.
Okay, so even... they might have done it the first time, sold them the first time, but they're not going to sell them a second time.
Yeah, that's great. Because he's got all kinds of crazy coverage maps,
right,
you know, that show you... Right. Sure, you could pick up those stations if there were no trees, and if there were no buildings, and if there were no other radio stations, and, well, if this was a desert, I guess you could pick it up if it was the only station on the dial.
Well, he's not an idiot. Snyder's not an idiot. He's more like a carny. He really is. This is more like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Well, for him, this is like fantasy football. Much like the way when he was in charge of the team, he just said, well, screw it, I'm going to go by Deion Sanders because, well, he's a famous guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want him on my team.
I want him on my team.
I want Jeff George. I want him.
We had mentioned the rule about you're supposed to call him Mr. Snyder.
Yeah, and now it's the same thing. They won't pay the money.
I'll buy my own stations.
Right.
I hear them fly on my radio.
Yeah, no need to really, like, build relationships in the business community. There's really no need to do that.
Burn bridges.
He's like Francis in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
You'll be sorry, Pee-wee Herman. Okay, Francis.
Looking forward to it tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Big win.
Looking forward to it tomorrow night.
Hope you don't get stuck in traffic, so you'll have to try to find it on the radio. I hope you can get right there to see it.
Again, don't worry, because the traffic is very well organized in and out of the stadium.
And the parking is still reasonable, right?
Yes, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they got an award. Perfect.
Is it
parking
still known as the most unfriendly fan experience in professional sports?
I bring Vaseline.
Really?
I bring Vaseline.
Still that bad.
I
call that friendly.
Yep, absolutely.
Amazing.
Because let's in prison terms, they toss you salad.
A little too fast.
As you enter the stadium.
That's it.
And they say it's a security check. I say it's something. Well,
isn't it really more like you toss their salad?
It's clean. It's decent.
No, there's a security check. They make sure there's no explosives in your wallet. I'll need all those explosive $20 bills.
But in that regard, I'm torn because even though I'm a lifelong Packers fan, I named my kid after Bart Starr. I've lived in Washington, D.C. here virtually my whole life. So, I mean, even though I hate Snyder, you know, I want the Redskins to do well. But there's a part of me that just thinks the guy is just such a prick. I mean, he doesn't know how to work the room. Even a prick like Jerry Jones has managed to turn his image around enough so that when you say Jerry Jones now, you don't think, oh, prick. You know what you think? You think old Yellow Teeth really wants to win.
Mm-hmm. You know, you look at some of the great owners in the history of the NFL. You look at Wellington Mara. You look at Art Rooney. You look at some of these
Rooney.
Owners. You look at these guys.
Rooney.
They are seriously community service guys. I mean, they were so loved by their communities,
and
they were so plugged in.
This guy,
Snyder,
he doesn't care.
I'll give him
a rat's ass.
I'll give him credit. He's not dishonest. All he wants is every dollar you've got.
Right.
He does.
He's up front.
That's all he wants. I mean, he'll talk about he wants to win and all this other stuff, but really, all he wants is every dead president in your wallet, and once he has it, then he'll be happy.
You know, I will say that he is genuinely a fan of the team, right? I mean, he does have that history that
yes,
he is his daddy and his daddy's daddy or whatever, but the fact is, he's doing that at the same time. I mean, he is really trying to, you know, get those dollars out of the wallet. It's
that's
ridiculous.
First,
I mean, but yeah. But passionately so, more so than a lot of other sports fans.
I mean, they market, Jesus Christ, I know I mentioned this before, but if I was either Popeyes or KFC, last year I would have gone into the Redskins and I would have said, give me my money back, because they got to be the only team in sports that has two official chickens.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, this is really what a whore Snyder is. Really. Popeyes, the official chicken of the Washington Redskins.
Right.
Meanwhile, you go to the stadium, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the official chicken of the Washington Redskins.
Official chicken.
Popeyes,
and that's
the official New Orleans-style chicken.
And that's why I am torn as I'm driving down Rockville Pike. Right. Which do I go? Which is the official Redskins
is
chicken?
Is that how they cover their ass? They say the official New Orleans-style chicken?
Right.
Oh my!
Are you making that up, or is that true?
No, I mean that's how they delineate it, and that's how they justify it in their minds.
Oh my God! Anything for the dollar.
You've not been to a game in now like 20 months, right?
Well, not since the 2004 season.
So I challenge you when you go there, see if you can, when you're in the stadium, find an advertisement. See if you can find one.
Oh my
You'll
God!
You'll miss the game.
Really?
All
right.
You can find one.
Anyway, looking forward to it.
Hey, the game's the game, right?
Yep. That's all that. Well,
barely.
Really. Well, when you go to FedEx Field, though, the game is not really the game.
Right.
I mean, it's really advertisements. And, well, I've bitched about this long enough.
I don't know.
But I've been to a lot of stadiums, and all I know is that when you're at the stadium, when they're not playing, the commercials on the big screen are this loud, and they're the same commercials as you see on TV. So why the frig go to the game when the guy's gonna scream, right guard deodorant?
You
know, meanwhile, I swear to God, it's louder than the actual game.
I know.
And during the commercials, it's like the Redskins have the ball. You're saying to someone, do you want a drink? Because all you hear is, right guard.
Well, trust this, that Mr. Snyder,
stupid midget whore,
will squat over the bowl and serve it, and all the fans will enjoy it.
Mike,
gladly.
I'm one of them. Look at me, I'm bitching, but
well,
you know what?
You can't. You're a super fan.
I'll be pulling in tomorrow night. What is that to park my car? Only $25, $75, $100?
Almost free.
Certainly, yes, almost free.
You'll do it because you are a fan of the team. That's what he's got going for him, but he could still, and it's up to people that do this for a living, in the newspapers and everywhere else, to keep reminding people that they're getting screwed out there and that we're aware of it. And,
Well, good luck with that radio thing, Danny.
Yeah.
That's going to work out good. That's going to work out real good for you.
Hey, that's Mr. Snyder.
What time are you going to set up your tailgate, Superman?
Superman. You there with my big, gigantic foam head?
You know,
my big red, I'll be wearing the old fashioned Indian headgear.
You know, I was holding my daughter Elizabeth's hand as we were walking across the street a couple of weekends ago. And as I was holding my 9-year-old's hand, it reminded me strangely of shaking hands with him. Because that hand,
the tiny dumb-like hand, man.
He had who's the kid that just got popped for
Haley Joel Osment.
He had Haley Joel Osment's hand from The Sixth Sense.
I see dollar signs.
I see dead president.
I see dead president.
Hey, I'm a tough guy. I never played, but I'm a tough guy. I'm a real tough guy. Yeah. Let me tell you. Doesn't he? You know, didn't he have a transcript of some of his phone conversations where he was effing with his staff or something like that?
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
He's the biggest prick owner in the world. I mean, he makes Steinbrenner look like a good guy.
Right.
Really, the guy is just so involved with every facet of the team. But
hey, this will kill him.
Wow.
Steinbrenner wins.
Oh, but you know what? I bet behind closed doors, you know what he would say?
What?
My franchise is worth more.
Makes money.
Yeah.
Makes more money.
Oh, I'm sure that's how
that's
he justifies it.
His bottom line. He'd say, the Yankees win? Good for you.
Right.
Good for you. My franchise is worth more.
Of course it is.
And if regular broadcasting doesn't work out, maybe he can put the games on shortwave.
I have a bold prediction for you.
Yes?
Now, the NFL has all kinds of rules about what can and cannot be put on the Internet.
Right.
I know that they got to deal with one of the satellite channels to have their games on there.
Yeah.
I bet, a bold prediction here, because no one in D.C. can hear the games on the radio, I bet Snyder puts them on the Internet, but he's going to... Hold on, John.
Johnny.
Had it on last week, and they were, according to what I read online, they were a good two full plays behind the live feed on TV.
All right, but hold on a second. I'm going to go further with this theory then. Okay, I'm glad to know that it was online.
Mm-hmm.
You mark my words. He's going to charge for it. He's going to charge for it because he's going to say, the NFL will not allow me to put things on the Internet because nobody else can.
Right.
And I bought these stations, and it's really the only way that I can make it up to you, the fans, until I can get a better station.
So he'll charge to put a delayed game on.
Mike, this is strictly a theory, but
right.
Remember,
yeah.
Yesterday I said the JonBenet guy was not the guy. I know, I'd heard that somewhere. That
you said you had serious doubt, right?
A serious doubt about what?
About the JonBenet guy. You had serious doubts about being guilty.
Yes, absolutely.
Where do you stand on it today? Are you going to go back the other way because now everybody's saying what you said yesterday?
No, I stand by. I say 100%.
Oh, you say 100% he's not guilty?
100%.
He's just a wacko.
Some idiot like John Hinckley Jr. I mean, not that's a bad analogy. Yeah. Hinckley actually did something.
Actually
but he's a wannabe.
I think he's guilty of being handsome.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
AFC is the official chicken of the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
Popeyes has the official chicken sandwich of the Washington
Redskins. Oh, there it is. I knew it was some subtlety. Right? Yeah, you know, the Redskins
you,
fans in this cool. town yeah. are not idiots, and I believe we
Snyder
will get
Snyder should know that, too. Snyder should know that we know. You know, here's the thing. He's like a crack dealer. We know you're ripping us off, but you got the only crack on the block.
Right.
So don't be thinking that you're all that, girlfriend.
You know, win or lose, I would request this of all fans that go out to the games on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like every Monday to have fans call us with the Dan Snyder rip-off of the weekend.
Oh, I like
and
that.
I would guarantee you, during an entire home football season, you would get a new one and a good one
yeah.
every single Monday.
At
somebody would
one.
Have something right. to talk about. Some tiny little detail where people felt screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And because aren't there just millions of them out there?
Well, as I call it, Gyp City. If you really want to get gypped, go to a Redskins game.
Okay. Absolutely.
We got a break. Play commercials that our clients can actually hear.
Yes.
And what's funny is that used to be one of his big complaints when the games were on WJFK.
What's that?
He would have a meeting and say, the station signal's not strong enough. It doesn't cover the whole area. The Redskins are the best team in the world, and you're just not big enough.
Eileen Cuisine. I just made those sponsors up.
First and ten.
You say your franchise is worth more than any other in football?
$800 million.
Good for you.
Better break before the sun goes down.
Yeah, commercial break before the sun goes down.
GFY, good for ye. All right, well, there you go. Pep talk over. Glad football is back. Excited about it.
Only owners box in the NFL with a booster seat. Your little hump.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, we got the rights. Come on in and shake Don and Mike's hand. Yeah, shake your hand.
I am the size of one single piece of tortellini. And it felt the same way.
And you know, really, not to say, but, you know, but really, I think if I had kissed ass enough from day one, I probably, well, at this point I couldn't because I'd be here with you, but I could have worked myself up the food chain a little more when I was doing the pregame and everything, if I would, you know, because
not with this guy.
He would hang around, you know, and he'd be like, creepy, don't want to see him, and they were like, don't talk about him. And
from day one, to a lesser extent, because we really got yelled at when we did it, when we had the rights, but we did it really as much as anybody would do it,
right?
I mean, I don't want to toot our own horn here, but the fact is, even with having the rights, even with having the rights to the Redskins, we were seriously always, like, at least in a veiled way, we were talking about this.
Right.
You know, the parking. We talked about the parking.
Really.
How many times would they say, hey, listen, can you cool it on that, please?
You know,
he tried to flex his muscles when he first came in here.
I know one time Ken said to me, the way old GM, who had first negotiated the first deal, because he's the guy that gave me the job on the pregame show. I remember one time he said to me, man, if you would just one time just think before you speak, just with this guy, play it right, be cool, eventually you want to work in the broadcast booth, be cool. And I think it was like 3 weeks later or something, he came to me and he said, he hates you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I do? And it was just some small little idiosyncrasy of something on a pregame show that was mentioning...
honesty, candor.
It had something to do with the height of a man and what a man was worth. And,
well,
you know,
truth.
Was trying to be funny.
Uh-huh.
You know, me and Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser.
And he couldn't have liked the midget voice.
No, he did not.
He didn't like that little voice.
He didn't like that.
When we talked about him, like, walking around in the cuffs of people's pants.
Right.
And don't forget when he put his dad's name on the patch for an entire year.
You came in that day, and I believe you might have done an hour on that alone, and... I don't think that went over really well.
In the front office!
No, well, I mean, the guy, listen, I can relate to losing someone you love, a parent, but the guy, he put his dad's initials at a whole big, you know, love the hail the Redskins with his dad's thing that they wore as a commemorative patch all year when the guy's dad had nothing to do with the team. He's not like one of those guys where you put the initials on the sleeve like...
No, it's like George Halas.
George Halas or Al Lerner, the guy in Baltimore.
Or Rooney in Pittsburgh.
You know, that would be like Jerry Jones saying, hey, you know, my daddy has just passed away, so all of this year we're going to, you know, have daddy's initials on our... You know.
Are you saying it was self-serving?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm. And I was saying that, too, and I know we got a break. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that the NFL has a field pass already, so you already have to pay to listen to the Redskins if you want to listen to them on the computer.
Hey, explain that. I'm not sure.
So that's already available on the Internet where you can pay and listen to all the games?
Yes, and it is delayed because I live in Seattle and I listen to them.
All right.
I watched it on the TV show and it's like the plays behind.
Well, then hold on a second.
Then he won't be able to do it.
No. Mike, this is why he's going to be able to do it.
Right.
He's going to have, I bet you, now I'm just thinking on the fly, he's going to have the games taken off, whatever this thing is that you have to pay to get everything, and make it a deal just to hear the Redskins. Because if he had the game on the Internet last week, John?
Darn it!
You say he ran the game on the Internet last week?
That's what I heard.
Well, then...
Okay. Or was the game, it was the game on the Internet based on this NFL website?
Yeah, were you on the NFL site or were you on the local radio station?
No, it's the NFL field pass, which is on the NFL site.
See, now the thing is...
But there's no way that he could do that.
Right.
Legally, I mean, he could try to do it.
If you're one of the other owners and you're saying, hold on a second, we all got together and decided to gyp people by charging them to hear this on the Internet...
John, do you know if that game was on field pass or if it was on his own website?
I don't know.
I'd love to know that.
I think it was on his website.
I think it was.
Well, they also have it on the field pass, too, because...
Okay, honey.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to let you guys know.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay.
So if they do already have, like, a pay-per-listen thing on the Internet...
I love this freedom now to really scrutinize him and really, like, pay attention to what he's doing and let people know. Because people are... Look, everybody's going to take it. Everybody's going to eat the S sandwich, but the fact is... They're not going to eat it and enjoy it as much if we point out what's going on.
I wonder if Biscotti knows this.
Up in Baltimore?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
You're kind of plugged into him, aren't you?
Yes.
You still maintaining those relationships up there?
Oh, you bet I am.
For the Baltimore Ravens?
I suck lots of Raven teeth. They're my favorite team, Mike.
Well, didn't you say that the experience in that stadium is a little bit different?
Oh, it's beautiful going to a game in Baltimore. It really is. I mean, it's got all the crap that they need to take out of the Redskins games. But I wonder how that guy would feel, or how any owner would feel at this point.
Is it Biscotti?
No, it's not. No, it's not. No,
I mean,
it's
at
not.
Least give the man... The man has invited you to training camp and invited you into the owner's box.
His name is Stephen Bisquick.
You can't do it.
That is his
name. You want to know why? But they'll invite you back because they
his
have a sense
Steve,
of humor.
Steve Bacardi is his name. Steve Bahama. Stevie Bahama.
Stevie Bahama would be a great...
Bahama.
Look, if that's not his real name, he should change his name to that.
He's got the tan for it.
Stevie Bahama.
He's got the tan for it. But wouldn't it be great to be one of those other owners finally getting to call Snyder, and because you got to know they all hate him. And it's like they go, Mr. Snyder, Mr. Buscotti from the Ravens is online too. And he's like, hello? And it's like, hey, bastard! Are you actually giving something away? Are you giving this away? You're screwing the league, bastard!
You know, if I remember correctly, and I somehow have a very accurate memory when it comes to Dan Snyder, I remember he didn't exactly waltz into the owners' club in the NFL. I believe it was a bit of a difficult situation. Fun. Correct?
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. It took him.
Money buys you a lot of friends.
It took him a little doing.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out. Anyway, good luck to him.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good for him. Welcome to the world of radio. You're a big time owner. You're a big man. You're a big important man. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And no matter how rich you are, you will never be as tall as I am.
Maybe if you were a little taller, it wouldn't be so easy for you to shove things in places. Okay? Okay, Sprout?
Tell you what, teeny weeny.
Sprout Snyder,
you give me 8 inches as opposed to $800,000, and I'm talking either total body or simply where it counts. I'll take my inches over your dollar anytime. Tiny?
Tiny. Sprout, you little shaver?
Little one.
You'll be shaving soon.
How do you pick up all those coins? Because you know he's out in the stadium after the game.
Right.
With his big bag like Santa's bag. Just out there picking up bottles for recycling, any change that might have been left. Want to get every possible cent you possibly can. Want to build a dome stadium so you can charge for air.
Yeah, good luck to you, Tom Thumb. Hope you do well. Really. I really hope you do well, Thumbelina.
Big home opener tomorrow night. People are really behind you, Snyder. You understand what we're saying?
Yeah, everybody's watching you. We're all going to be quiet as a church mouse.
Have to be to hear the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you are?
Ant. Hey, Ant Snyder.
Ant. You're the Taliban of NFL owners.
He is.
You're the Al-Qaeda of the NFL. You're the Saddam Hussein of the National Football League.
Redskins fans, held hostage. Year number... What year is he in?
10.
Is it 10? Has it been 10 years?
Oh, my
year
God.
Number 10. Redskins fans held hostage. By Sprout Snyder.
Let's go live to FedEx Field. What can you tell us in Section 213? We are so thirsty, but are they not serving beverages? Yes, a bottle of water is $4.95. We just can't afford it. We're dying here. He's killing us. Fred, an internet survey says, in Green Bay, a bratwurst costs $2.25. At FedEx Field, a hot dog costs $8.50.
Hamburger at FedEx Field.
How much, Robbie?
I think $6.50 or $7.
Coca-Cola.
$4.
Mm-hmm. The feeling of getting a proctology exam from the owner in the NFL?
Priceless.
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 $4.
Screw me, Danny. I'm your bitch. I'm your bitch.
Oh, this is fun.
Tomorrow night in the stadium, I'll be in the club section. Bend me over. Bend me over that chair, because don't forget, oh, that's right, you got me on that one, too, because I'm stupid. Attention season ticket holder, how would you like to pay an extra fee to have a nice cushion put on your seat and a nameplate with your name on it? Are you stupid enough to buy this? The answer was, of course I was, yes. I'll pay more for that.
And then you'll count your money when you get back to your house. Otherwise referred to as Munchkin Land.
Okay, well, hail to the Redskins.
Good luck, Tiny.
Here's another great season of the National Football League.
It should be pointed out, with all that we say, it is fun when the Redskins win. Because it's fun to watch, and everybody totally gets into it. This is not directed in any way at the team itself. It's directed at that guy.
Yeah, but fellas, if you suck again this year, I mean, you know.
You'll be back.
There's another team 30 minutes down the road.
But you will
Mike,
be back.
I am simply offering motivation.
Right.
My own motivation to the Redskins, who I'm sure are listening right now. And really, if they were allowed to listen out at Redskins Park,
right.
Don't you think if they had like their headphones on right now, there'd be at least half the team going, FNA, if only we could say that to him.
Yep. There's one guy wouldn't do that.
Mark Brunell. I think he'd disagree.
I'll tell you why. I was at a Bible study meeting.
prayer practice.
Yeah. Hey, Mark Brunel. Listen, I have issues with him from when he was in Jacksonville.
Well, we mailed him chicken bones.
Yeah.
Oh, you sent him voodoo things.
He was my fantasy quarterback in Jacksonville.
You sent him cursed things.
We made the thing from the Blair Witch.
Yes, we did.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Cursed him. Cursed him.
And I've never forgotten that.
Hi, Mark.
Why did you do that to me?
He's fun.
You are fun.
I'm Mark Brunel.
Let's pray.
This is going to be a great season.
I'm Coach Gibbs. Now, I want you to bow your heads, praise, and thank you, Jesus. I want you boys to get all your amphetamines and all your illegal pills out there today and just bust some butt.
I'm with you, Coach.
I want you to break some bones. Now, Mark, I want you to hold my hand.
Yes, Coach.
Is Jesus telling you to go out today and bust somebody's ass wide open?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, Coach Gibbs.
Would you pray for my aviator eyeglasses?
Yes, I will, Coach Gibbs.
I will pray for that massive 3-day growth of beard that you are wearing that makes you look so sexy.
I'm not sure why, but I've developed a bit of a lisp, even though he doesn't really have one.
And it Jesus?
It adds to the voice.
And finally, Mark?
Yes,
as we end our pregame prayer.
Yes, Coach.
Dear Jesus. I understand the weather's going to be good, but if possible, could lightning hit Dan Snyder on the 50-yard line?
I pray for that too, Coach.
Amen.
I hate the little son of a bitch.
Now let's eat. Who's got the grub?
It's a funny little franchise.
Sure is. Well, Crisis.
And I mean little.
Crisis King time is now, wow, way late. We'll be right
Number
back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, we have to figure something out. All right. Well, I know what I got to do. We're in a 200-foot aluminum tube, and we're 30,000 feet in the air. And any one of those slimy little pieces of shit can trip a circuit or a relay or hydraulic, and this bird goes down faster than a tie hooker. So my job is to keep LAX informed on how totally screwed we are, and then find some way to keep this mother in the sky another 2 hours. Figure that out.
Hey, Snakes.
That's real dialogue.
Yeah. Yep.
That's funny.
Kind of the point.
That's worth going to the movie.
Victims of laxative abuse. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yep. And this portion of the show in Westwood 1.
Come on.
Brought to you by Ford. Visit addictedtokelly.com. I know if Jim Morrison was alive, he'd be living on that website.
He would.
Jim would like all the latest Kelly Clarkson tour info.
I bet she's worn leather pants, too.
As well as exclusive video and Jim Morrison's chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Brought to you by Ford. And Jim Morrison would be happy that they brought the original Ford Mustang back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jimmy, so much has happened since you passed.
He was into cars, specifically muscle cars. He loved muscle cars.
He was into number one, too. Well, he was into his genitals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he was into exposing himself on stage, and occasionally if it...
But you said he was into number one.
Have you never heard the story of
showering?
No, on occasion he would...
On stage?
On stage.
I know that.
Yeah. Right into the crowd.
Really?
They loved it.
Yeah, we've done the same show.
And you mentioned his pants. You know they were made from the skin of an unbirthed cow.
Really?
Yeah, very soft.
Oh, all right.
That's why his microphone is off.
Well,
that was one of Rob's.
Yeah, I'm just hoping there's a
the eighth wonder of the world!
I'm hoping there's a segment of the audience that wasn't able to hear that. It's a pretty disturbing little factoid that the giant brain of Speedwack just vomited out.
I never thought I would say this. Let's call Tom.
Well, I mean, there's the criminal justice system involved, and we have to find out.
Our friend, our good friend, Thomas Aloysius Gavin, who incidentally should be worried, nipping at his heels right now is Super Dave.
Mm-hmm. Super Dave from Baltimore.
Super Dave from Baltimore, and I'm putting out the call right now to Super Dave from Baltimore. We'd love you to show up next week to do something outside with a bullhorn.
Very good. Hope your head's better. We need an advocate for the show.
Well, Mike, more importantly, Mel Gibson needs an advocate.
Oh, wow.
Mel Gibson needs someone out there.
Save Mel.
Standing on Rockville Pike, saying Jews for Mel.
Yeah.
Jews for Mel Gibson.
Wonderful.
We forgive you, Mel. Super Dave is the man for that job.
I think it's time.
And if we can't, we're going to dress him in a rabbi suit. But Super Dave is about, if you're talking intelligence quotient, about 100.
Yeah.
And Tom Gavin is clocked at...
About half that.
Do we know?
I have a guess.
But I bet when it comes to talking about his trials and tribulations with the law, I'm sure that Tom Gavin can wax eloquently about it.
Oh, yeah. So Tom had... What was the problem there, Kong?
He was apparently messing with the wires in his apartment. His phone wires.
In his group house.
Yeah, his group home in the compound.
I mean, not his own apartment. It was like the whole complex, right?
Who knows? I mean, all I'm getting is secondhand...
Well, it's a group home. There are other people involved.
I'm getting secondhand Tom information through Joe.
Hope we can get through.
What could possibly go wrong?
Get through to the group home?
Yes, because of the phone line.
Forwarded. Have we... Automatic voice
we're getting...
system.
Tom Gavin.
As voice
is not available.
He's in the joint.
To page this person, press 5 now.
He's in the joint.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording...
Tom is in jail.
...or press 1 for more options.
It's not available.
Hey, Tom? It's too bad you're not there. Charlie's here.
Hi, Tom. I heard you got in trouble. Give me a call at the Don and Mike show.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Tom.
God, I hate it when you make me do that.
Oh, Charlie. Hey, you look nice in your suit today.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. Why? Why? What's funny? Rob?
Nothing, Charlie.
No. I want to know. What's funny?
It's just I'm not accustomed to you since you've changed.
I'm not accustomed to you. All right, whatever.
What's your take on the JonBenet situation?
I don't like to see people try it in the press. I really think it's really, you know, you leak too quickly. And that's what the modern media does.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. Amen. That's my motto.
Pedophilia. I know you have strong feelings about pedophilia.
I do. Indeed, I do. Lock them up. Throw away the key. But you don't want to, you know, you don't want to try someone in the press. It's not appropriate, Don. I don't believe in it. I really don't. I think this is, you know, we're all going to wait and see and see how it plays out.
Right. How are things going for you, Smart Charlie?
Well, it's another weekend at home. Quiet weekend, nothing much going on. David Carr certainly takes the spotlight off Mr. Bush, which is probably a good thing for his polling numbers. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh, laugh, laugh. What an a-hole you are, really.
Goodbye, Smart Charles.
Bye, Don.
Bye, see you later.
Safe weekend.
Good weekend.
Ta-ta.
Bye. Smart Charlie.
I like
it's disturbing.
Don't know what's happened to him.
I don't know.
Came in dressed like a banker today.
I have no idea.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I had a cane, too.
Hey,
like a pimp stick.
Going,
yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Yes. Hey, about Mike Wallace's interview, you forgot to mention it. Mike Wallace was a Jew.
About Mike Wallace's interview, forgot to mention Mike Wallace is a Jew. Oh, and he was.
What the hell does that have to do with
when he was talking to the president of Iraq?
Yes.
Or Iran, Iran, I'm sorry, Iran. Iran.
Yes. Is that important to you?
Yes, because you remember when he mentioned about the Jews, he would change it to the, he would call them something else, and that was very important. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember that part. I mean, we're talking about a 60 Minutes interview with Mike Wallace last week.
Right.
Isn't it incredible how this show can just, the ebb and flow, where it's 1 minute, it's, you know, what's Tom's IQ, and now we're discussing Mike Wallace, and if he asked questions that pertain,
Middle East relations. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a Jew.
Isn't it kind of well known that he's a Jewish broadcaster? I mean, I think everybody...
Rob's got him in the book, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, you felt we should mention it?
Yes, it was very important. It was very important that the president wouldn't say Jew. He called them. He called them another name, and
it would help. He called who another name?
The Jews. He called them
Zionists.
Zionists. Yes.
Yes, that's what a lot of people in the Middle East say about the state of Israel.
Is that what Mike? Is that what Mike the Jew Wallace said?
No, that's what the president of Iran said. He said the Zionists.
What did Mike?
He would not say the Jewish people. He would say the Zionists.
So what did Mike the Jew Wallace say?
Mike Wallace just continued with his questions. I'm not sure where this call's going.
I watched the same show. We discussed it on the show last week, didn't we?
We talked it, and there was no really burning desire at any time to say, and Mike Wallace is Jewish.
But you didn't mention it. That was a fact. That's a very important.
Well, as we've heard.
But hold on. I want to know where you're going. Why are you saying that? Why is that important?
I kind of figured you were scared to call him a Jew. You know.
Who was scared? We were. Who? I was?
Yes, I think you were kind of.
Afraid to call Mike Wallace a Jew? Why?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he had power over you or something.
Maybe he had power over us?
He does kind
of. Over Mike, John.
Why were you... Why was it... I want to know from you specifically.
The only Jew with power over me is Adam Sandler.
He hypnotizes you.
Even in the longest yard. Even in the longest yard. I can't turn it off, Mike.
Why was it important for you to hear us say that?
Because when Christmas comes around, I wonder if he's going to play Jew to the World.
I think we understand why he wanted us to say that.
Yes.
I forgot. Do we even have a parody song called Jew? I bet we do somewhere. Jew to the World?
Yes.
I just sing it.
Are you, sir, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
How did you feel about the interview?
I figured Mike should have went in there and been a little more tougher on him. But did you see all the bodyguards he had around him? Mike was...
You know, I can't believe we're just having a discussion with this guy like he's a real guy. So I just hung up on him.
You know,
saying Mike, he was talking about Mike Wallace, Mike O'Mara.
Here's the question for that last caller. All right, because I swear to God, I am really not sure. Anti-Semite or idiot or both?
I think just
is
idiot.
He an anti-Semite both. Or both. You think he's both?
I think just an idiot.
Right?
Well, Rob would know. Why do you think he's one of you?
No, I think he's both. So it's only a partial overlap.
Only a partial overlap.
That's right.
So you're saying you both anti-Semite and idiot.
Yes, yeah, a stupid anti-Semite.
Okay.
But Rob,
as opposed to
aren't they all?
Yes. You know what that is? That's a bad outlook.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Why do you think they call it the human race?
Bingo!
Hello.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi there.
You called, we answered.
Hello?
Do we do this to you? Do we call you at home, and when you pick up the phone, do we just sit there and breathe into the mouthpiece?
We should.
No, Don, it's me.
Oh, it's Tom.
Oh, hi. Oh, Tom.
Let's be a little understanding now.
Tommy. There he is, Mr. 50.
Yes, well.
Hi, Tom.
Where are you, Tom? You sound like you're far away.
I'm down at the Arlington County. I'm on the way home to the Arlington County Fair.
How was the fair, Tom?
Good.
You eat a lot of bad food?
No.
Did you ride any rides?
No.
What did you do at the fair?
I was a volunteer, helping them out with media.
Did you run any rides?
No.
Helping.
What do you call it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
Tilt-a-tard.
Hey, what were you helping them out with?
Whack-a-tard.
No, I was helping them with the
Ferris-tard.
Oh, boy, do I want me some tard cakes.
Watch it, Tom.
And some cotton tard. Oh. Now the words don't even have to rhyme with tard. Now it's just whatever. Anymore.
I was riding a roller coaster, guys.
Oh, really?
Ah. What was that, Tom?
Roller coaster.
They didn't have a roller coaster at the county fair.
A roller tard.
Yay,
watch it. Coastard.
Polatard. Roller coaster.
Watch it.
Bump 'em tards. That's a good one.
What's up?
So, Tom, listen, what happened when you almost got arrested?
That was Monday. I came back with a friend of mine, and I didn't know what was going on. And I saw a cop car. I said, wait a minute. What's going on here? Uh-huh. I said,
go ahead. Take your time, Tom.
I said.
You said.
I said.
Thank God. God was behind me. I said, do not do this.
What are you talking about?
You said, thank God. Thank God.
God was with me. I didn't do anything.
God was with you?
Yeah. Charlie was with me. That's what it was.
No, you were a criminal, Tom. You were a criminal. What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
I believe you're the bag of poop that God lights and sets on fire on people's doorsteps and rings their doorbells.
Fire, knucklehead. Where's Charlie at?
Hey, Tom. Were the police cars just at the group home?
Yes.
I think your God's like fake vomit.
Yeah.
What did
your God's fake poop.
What did they think you did, Tom? What did they think you did?
I caught someone on fire in the woods.
Now you're making that up. That's silly. Don't be silly. What really happened? Why were the police at your house?
With someone's answering machine.
Listen.
What?
They thought you were fooling with somebody's answering machine?
Tom?
Oh, dear.
He wanted to get back to focus on his driving.
He's lost his phone privilege.
Now, that is not a function of the telephone. The studio was totally rebooted last night. Everything works great.
Sure does. Tom hung up.
He did.
The pressure of the questioning appeared to be too much
for him. Too much for him. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wow. Yo, what's up?
Hi there.
That's a better connection, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom again?
Yeah. Tom, what did you do that was illegal?
Joe just called him back. Okay.
All right.
I tapped into someone's answering machine.
What? What did you do, Tom?
He tapped into someone's answering machine.
How did you fit? Good boy. How did you figure that out?
I don't know.
Tom, how did you do that? Did the person call the police on you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
What were you looking for on their answering machine, Tom?
I was looking for Charlie Stink Stabilak.
Oh, no, you weren't. Don't be silly. Come on.
Did you break into somebody's house?
No.
Into their apartment?
No.
Did you call their answering machine with their phone number and then try to get their stuff off of it?
Yes.
Ah. Oh, so you knew their phone number, and then you knew what the code was to get their answering machine stuff.
And they called the police?
Tom?
Did they call the police then?
Yeah.
Tom?
Tom, what's going on there? What are you doing right now?
Tom?
I think Tommy? We might hear. Can we hear him? Is he doing something in the background?
That line just went belly up.
Tommy, can you hear me?
Just go belly up. I love it when you quote a great rock opera. Allow me to do the same.
Yes.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. All right, well, listen, obviously Tom is okay. We can hear this fascinating tale another day when he's not encumbered by the cell phone.
Yeah, it seems to me that he's developing some very dangerous skills.
Yeah,
and quite well.
Yay.
I tapped in their phone. Wow. Imagine that. Somebody's like rolling out of the home and say, I know you're going out to dinner with the next door neighbor. It's like terrifying.
I'm going to have your cat when you're gone.
Tom lives under the bridge at his group home.
Like a troll?
Like a troll. Yes. He's the troll.
Tommy Troll.
Me Troll.
Tommy Troll.
Tom the Troll.
Triple T. Tom the Troll with you. Tom the Troll time.
Tom the Tard Troll.
Quad for it. Tom the Tard Troll.
I say throw Gavin out. He's now Tommy Troll.
Tommy Troll. Tommy Troll versus Super Dave.
You know what he'd look great
Battle
in?
Battle of the Network Tards.
He would look great in a troll outfit.
Like something from
Shrek.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like what the trolls would wear. Remember those trolls when you were kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
almost like a monk outfit.
Yeah, we called them Kewpie dolls.
Oh, I thought they just wore diapers.
No, trolls?
They were new. No, trolls were those like...
Those things with the big hair coming out of them?
And the deformed head.
Troll dolls. Yeah.
Right. No. Little trolls.
All the time.
And they weren't Kewpie dolls. For some reason, I always called them Kewpie dolls.
Those are trolls.
Trolls.
And I remember there was a time when you could get them really small, like
Keychain size.
Keychain size. Thank you, Mike. Or you could get the big, gigantic, oversized troll head.
They still make them. I think they still make trolls. Now they're called Snyders.
Well, we need to get that outfit for Tom.
You're not going to be able to go over my bridge.
Got a break. We're coming back now and postponed from yesterday at about the same time. Patton Oswalt, right?
Yeah.
Very funny Patton Oswalt. Yesterday we kept talking to him and the phone kept on us.
Today we have a perfectly functioning phone line.
So here we go. Get set to laugh. No pressure, but he's a very funny man.
Yeah.
And frankly, Mike and I have been at it for an hour and a half now, and it's Friday, and aren't you like me, kind of spent?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't we just sit back and let Peyton take over the Patton? Peyton.
Yeah, you know, it's football season.
Peyton Manning.
Is somebody looking forward to the weekend? Is somebody really, for the first time in months, really looking forward to his weekend?
What if Patton Oswalt was the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning was an incredible cutting-edge comedian and TV writer?
You'd have a very tall, muscular guy delivering stand-up and you'd have a fatality in the NFL.
Patton. Not Peyton.
Right. I'll grind your bones to make my bread.
When we come right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
All that and the Millers.
Okay. So now which one of them gets the $1 million?
No, no, no. Hold on a second. No, no, no. That will never do. That will never do.
America has talent.
I'm terribly embarrassed.
Terribly embarrassed.
You should have heard this advertisement.
It's Don and Mike on the Pike.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday at 8 p.m., Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno style show. Hooters on Rockville. That's how I roll.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's right.
Yeah, baby. Luck be a lady tonight.
Baby. Come on.
Come on, baby.
Anytime.
Play the tape. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right, we are. We got Patton on the phone.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
Uh-huh. And is there one more here?
That's retarded.
That is not very nice. I have a nephew who's retarded, and he has to wear a helmet.
Here's Don and Mike to talk for you.
Okay. Let's welcome back now to the show. Second day in a row.
Hopefully the phone lines will hold out now.
Patton Oswalt, PattonOswalt.com. Tomorrow night, sold out at the State Theater, I believe, right here in D.C. in Falls Church, VA, at thestatetheater.com. And he's on the Shatner Road, so it'll be on tomorrow night on Comedy Central. We had him on yesterday, and the phones were all left up. Here he is again now, Patton Oswalt. Patton.
Hi, Patton.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, okay, now
you're a kidder. You're a kidder.
It's
funny.
What's up?
Sorry. So sorry about that yesterday. We are in a brand new studio, and what they did last, I guess before yesterday's show,
right.
They turned off, they powered down the entire building.
Uh-huh.
And when they powered it back up, they just didn't bother to figure out what worked and what did not work. So our apologies.
Not an excuse.
Huh? You're right. Not you know what? You are right.
All right. Well,
God damn it, you're right. There is absolutely no excuse. That is not acceptable.
Pat, let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you had someone in your life who you considered to be your best friend, and let's say that person was your manager.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Are you going down this road?
I thought that's where you were going.
No, I really wasn't directing it to him. I really was just kind of...
Rob?
You know what I was doing? I was doing what I do every day, just opening my mouth, whatever comes out.
Well, the truth is that, you know, that...
I didn't... Because I throw Rob under the bus. I want him to know. I'll do it and let him know.
He'll tell you he should have come in and... Tell them you should have come in and...
I should have checked the phones.
Should have checked everything.
Yes.
Right. So, Patton.
Yeah.
Hi, Patton.
Sure.
Patton.
Patton, would you like to fire Rob?
I don't want to. Thanksgiving, stop fighting.
Have you ever sucked the jelly out of a jelly donut and then filled it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Get the honey.
I didn't know you knew that.
One of the greatest scenes, most underrated comedy scenes. That scene is so genius.
Fatso.
Oh, God.
Can we set that like DJs, did we?
That's you know, I don't know whether you can even find it in a video store. I have no idea.
Yeah, why isn't that on DVD? That movie was so well written.
It was, and Dom DeLuise could really cry.
Oh, man.
So, let me see. Patton, hold on, because we didn't get your plug in. First of all, you don't need to sell tickets for this thing tomorrow,
no,
right?
I just was told it's totally sold out.
Totally sold out tomorrow night.
Congratulations.
Very good. If you've never seen Patton, I like to call him the white Bill Cosby. And here's why.
Okay, I'd like to hear this explanation.
His material...
Yeah, I'd like to hear it as well.
His material is totally family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could take Cliff Huxtable and move him about 20 years in the future, and right. Instead of him being black, he's white.
Yeah, it's not the, you know, Cosby from the 60s during what I like to call his blue period.
Right.
You know, it's really something where you could, you know,
there's
I know he's
going to
be in a theater, but it really belongs in an amphitheater and you put out the blanket.
At the end of the night, after he tells his stories and his jokes, and he brings his son Theo out on stage.
Right.
Oh, good Lord.
It's a wonderful show. It's really a wonderful nice. Show. And
no, you are... Your stand-up act, and this is a really a compliment, is retarded. It's fantastically retarded because you speak about so many things that people do not speak about.
How many instruments are you playing during your stand-up show?
How many instruments
How many
I'm
instruments
playing?
Do you... Are you still playing the fiddle and the trumpet?
His one-man band.
I broke my ankle in a skateboarding thing I was showing off, and so I can't do the trumpet anymore, but I still have the fiddle going.
Oh, you know, I know you're playing in pain. God love you for it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Patton, sorry to hear it didn't work out. When did you get eliminated from America's Got Talent?
I was eliminated when they included a talent portion into it. That's when they eliminated.
No, I'm busting your balls. I'm kidding. We have the... Have you, that is... The worst train wreck of a gong show that I've... Do you watch that at all? Have you ever seen that show?
Well, the title, America's Got Talent, I don't need to watch it because here's the thing. America doesn't have talent. That's why there's not a lot of performers and celebrities. That's why there's 250 million people and there's like 10,000 of us are actually in the entertainment field. People don't have talent. They need to pay to go watch talented people do things.
Would it be as much fun if more people had talent, though? I don't think so.
No!
No, we wouldn't have as much fun. We wouldn't put these people up on pedestals and all that.
It's like going, everybody's got vaginas. Okay, well, then that's not fun anymore. Like, some people have to not have them, and then it's fun.
Right. Hey, Patton, kind of a non-sequitur here, but it's what a good interviewer does.
All right.
How about that Mel Gibson? What is the story with that cat?
I'm glad you read the notes from the free interview. No
honestly,
pressure, Patton.
I wish you guys would... Honestly, I don't know him personally, but you really should lay off because he's said he's tried to quit drinking 6 million times, and it's clear that what he needs is a final solution, and he's going to. He said he's going to check himself into like a rehab center or maybe a camp where he can just concentrate on wiping this scourge, this vermin, from his life. But he works with a lot of Jews, and he says working with them has been a gas. So I don't see why people are so. He was just drunk. He was a little drunk.
Oh. That's the kind of family-friendly comedy you can look forward to.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that like turning on Nick at Night?
Mm-hmm. Bring out the folks.
Just like a guy.
Now, seriously, I know you're close to your mom and dad, and you're from this area. Will you have moms and pops at the show tomorrow night?
If they come, they've been warned. But, I mean, my mom and dad are coming, so
good.
There you go.
That's good. That's
and,
good.
On other topics that have nothing to do with anything, did you like the Superman movie? I know that you like comic books. You like some comic books.
I liked the first two acts, and then the third act. It has like 11 endings. Like it doesn't know when to end.
Do you think it'd be worthwhile seeing that in IMAX? That's not a goof. That's a nerd question.
Sure. It wouldn't be worth it. See, I don't like things in IMAX. It's too big. Like it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I heard it's so cool that they put the little thing on the screen saying, put on your glasses now, and whenever he flies, it's 3D.
Oh, really?
Yes, and when my girlfriend and I went to the movies last weekend, we snuck in some booze, and that wasn't a 3D movie. So really, I was thinking, now this is not a lie. If we go to IMAX, we're going to bring some booze and watch Superman fly in 3D while we get drunk.
You have your hollow walking cane with the shot glass in the head.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful little...
Wear your monocle.
It's a great accessory. It really is. You know, we were out in Cancer Corner just before we came in here to talk to Pat, and I don't know whether he knows anything about it, but it just cracked me up. We were talking about something. I don't know whether you have an opinion on it or not. We were talking about Gumby. Did you watch Gumby when you were a kid?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, and I remember it being disturbing. Something about it. It was kind of like he seemed to live in this weird post-apocalyptic Lovecraftian landscape of shapes, and you know the lighting was a little off.
Right.
And everything was, and just the fact that he existed. Like if you saw Gumby in real life, you would just shoot it. You'd shoot it and run. You know, that's a frightening thing with a weird little face. And,
but let me stop you for a moment.
Go with a hunch and it pays off.
Let me just stop you for a moment, though. That were you a fan of Davy and Goliath?
Davy and Goliath 2 was also. I used to watch it a lot, but there was something creepy about it.
Right. Yeah,
was it the claymation?
It was the claymation. It was the landscape on Davy and Goliath. There's something creepy about it. Like There are like death metal bands that try hard to recreate that landscape and they fail. They try to make it that disturbing, and they just nailed it.
How sad that was when we were all kids, when you would go on a Sunday morning. Friggin' nothing, not like four channels, and all that's on is the God Squad. So the best you could do was this crappy claymation, which was Davy and Goliath.
Bible, the worst thing about Davy and Goliath,
Bible stories.
The bad kid on Davy and Goliath, the evil kid, when he would get really mad, and he'd have that mouth, and they'd do the squiggly mouth. I don't remember what.
Yeah.
And he was like, "I'm gonna really hit you." His mouth would be really weird.
Everybody, which was the scariest when you were a kid? I just got all three of them. Gumby.
I know the third.
Davy and Goliath. Or Clutch Cargo.
Davy and Goliath.
Davy and Goliath.
Yeah.
I vote Clutch Cargo because of the mouths.
The mouths were funny on Clutch Cargo.
Yeah, but at least, like, Clutch Cargo, there was something kind of harmless about it because it didn't seem like they could move around and get you.
Yeah.
Whereas that talking dog, like, can you imagine that talking dog, like, coming out of the trees at you at dusk? And you know how eerie that would be, talking at you, and if you're not good, you'll burn in a pit of urine and vomit and fire.
Davy.
You'll be turned into a living condom for Belphegor.
What if the King of Queens is on what hiatus?
Thank you, Rob.
It's on hiatus.
Yeah.
And when it comes back, because it's like a Band-Aid show, right? When something doesn't work, they're going to throw it back on.
Yeah, they're doing only 13 episodes, and they're going to start showing it in January.
I've got to buy a VHS machine. If these are the final 13 episodes, I am finally going to break down and buy a tape machine.
Good for you.
Tape machine.
Good for you.
A nice tape machine.
Did I tell you I had a guy in my... I know I've said this on every time. This is the patent. Some guy in my neighborhood actually called it Tyvo. Said to me, I see the ads for this Tyvo, and I thought, I swear to God, he was talking about Tyvo.
Right.
You know, right. No. You know that thing that records. Tyvo.
You know, if you go out to eat all the food at the old country, my mom still calls it a buffet.
A buffet?
A buffet. And antibiotics.
Is it foyer or foyer?
I call it foyer.
Yeah, foyer.
You step into the foyer.
I call it a foyer.
Wouldn't the
foyer.
French... Isn't it obviously a French word. You've traveled the world. It's a French word, right?
It's foyer. Nice, but damn it, we're Americans.
Yes, we are.
Oh, foyer. We've been talking about all this stuff with cartoons, and I totally forgot to ask. Tomorrow night... At 10 o'clock on Comedy Central, it's the William Shatner roast.
Sunday night.
I'm sorry, Sunday night. Sorry about that. Sunday night, 10 o'clock. Did you know William Shatner before you roasted him, or were you just one of the funny guys that they knew would bust balls?
Well, I met him for 2 seconds when we did Conan O'Brien together, and he was very pleasant, and he signed his CD for me. But, I mean, I was never like a Trekkie. I was more of, I was pulled in because of Star Wars and stuff like that. Trek was just a little bit before my time. But, I mean, I know of Shatner, for God's sakes. He's a weird, train wreck icon. How do you not, what I mean?
I would imagine there was kind of a waiting list, to get on that roast. Tell me about how does the pecking order work with the roast? How are you,
Drew Carey's not on it, is he?
No, he's not on it. You know what, I think it's a combination of, who can they get, and then also who can... Because they've got to guarantee a solid show. So that's
right.
Why they got to have people like Geraldo and Ross and Lampanelli to, pick it up when you have... There are some definite dead spots that I won't say. But, you need those to kind of recover from the deadliness.
Does the roastee have any say at all? Does he have any kind of veto power when you're going to be doing a roast? Hey, I don't want that guy.
I don't think so. Although I heard that Shatner didn't want any of the... I think they had Michelle Nichols and George Takei, and he didn't want them sitting close to him. They're on the other dais, Whereas, and then you have, the Chevy Chase roast where... He couldn't even get any of his friends to be on, so,
Well, I guess the rap on Chevy Chase is that he doesn't have a lot of friends in the industry,
No, he's apparently a pretty horrible human being.
So I'm guessing with William Shatner, you could go up and you could say something like, there's William Shatner with the most famous toupee in showbiz, huh? But you could not say, hey, there's William Shatner who's, how'd that drowning wife work out for you?
Yeah, they, we were actually told to stay away from that, and apparently,
what a shame.
Artie Lang was making jokes about it leading up to it on the radio, and he wasn't happy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I mean, that is a little like, you know, it's that you can't like roast someone and go, hey, how about that leukemia that your mom had? You know,
yeah. Yeah, I know. I was just wondering, you know, where the line with the line, where the line is.
The line was you can't go. We couldn't talk about the wife.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So they can give you some they can give you guidelines.
Could you make fag jokes about him if you wanted?
Oh God, that's all people did. George Takei, that's all he talked about was fagging it out with William Shatner.
I love you.
You know who was great? Awesome was Betty White. Was amazing.
Tell me, she's amazing.
Yeah, we know.
You know, I mean, they wrote a monologue for her, but unlike certain other people who they wrote monologues for, she looked at it, gave him a couple of quick little notes that actually improved it, and then went, okay, I'm going to go off and memorize it.
Does she still do that acid tongue sweet delivery thing?
Oh, yeah.
I think that is absolutely hysterical.
The
I really
sweet know. Midwestern mom just saying awful, awful.
That you sold it. I want to see it.
And it was so funny.
And we didn't get to ask you yesterday. Andy Dick, you mentioned he was on something. He was out of control. And this for me is a reason to watch. Yeah. Like, I watch a Letterman show if Andy Dick is going to get two segments.
Oh, totally.
He's nuts. What did he do specifically without giving it away?
Let's just say that he couldn't allow anyone to have a moment.
Oh, really?
I got to make sure that I'm in every single aspect of the show.
Oh, my God.
As I've said, please join me and the AIDS virus in finding a cure for Andy Dick.
And I guess it's Comedy Central, so we won't see any moments of self-exposure, will we?
No, that happened backstage. He apparently whipped it out and urinated in front of a Page Six writer. And as he was doing it, he was like, don't write about that.
Join.
Don's right.
I want to steal that thing about the AIDS. Join me.
AIDS virus. Finding a cure.
Finding a cure for blank. I'm just going to use finding a cure for blank.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
For blank. Oh, okay, thank you.
For anyone.
I will credit you every time I use that. And if you steal from me, you're stealing twice.
So you're doing the State Theater. Are you doing that all for most of your summer? Are you on the road?
I'm doing the theater. They invited me back, and I had so much fun last time. Mm. I said, yeah, and then in September, I start a new Comedians of Comedy tour.
Oh, good.
We start in Nashville, and we'll be in Washington, D.C.
Hey.
On Tuesday, September 12th at the Black Cat.
Oh, very cool.
So I think we have the day off beforehand, so I'll try to drop in, or I'll call you guys.
Oh, beautiful. Cool.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Patton Oswalt, everybody, his website, which I go to all the time, it's great, plus it has fantastic porno. PattonOswalt.com. Tomorrow night at the State Theater, that's sold out. But please do also watch Patton Sunday night on the William Shatner Roast, Comedy Central at 10 o'clock.
Tonight.
Patton, you are you're a funny little man.
Good. And as far as your career goes, Patton, good for you.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's our line of the week. Good for you.
You've had lots of success. You've been on a TV show, and you're successful. Good for you.
Patton, can I ask one personal question? What kind of car are you driving around out in Los Angeles right now?
I drive a 1999 Nissan Maxima. I believe in driving a car into the ground. I don't like to buy new cars every year. It's bad for the environment.
Good for you.
Patronizing.
Thanks, Patton.
Good for you.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye, dude.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. There's Patton Oswalt.
See?
We can play nice with people.
Yep. Yes, he is. And it's sold out. I mean, I if it wasn't sold out, I would say run out there. And I mean, it is so. His stand up just did. I saw him two shows in a row when he was at the Improv.
Join me and the AIDS virus as we try to wipe out Michael Hughes. Would that be how it's used?
Yes, exactly.
Try to find a cure. As we try to find a cure for Michael Hughes.
For Michael Hughes. Right. And I, you know, there it was. You know, I just threw it out there. Andy Dick exposing himself in there, and you know, he did it backstage, right?
Of course he did.
That seems to be his MO.
Of course he did.
Or his HMO, or his HOMO,
or his HIV.
Mm-hmm. HIV.
Join me and the AIDS virus as we try to find a cure for.
Joe Arnger.
Hey, Joe.
Norman.
Yeah? Just some instant feedback here. How do you think the show's going today?
It's awesome.
Awesome. Thanks.
It's going fast and furious.
You know, Joe, I didn't give you credit that the reason I asked Patton about Gumby was because of your discussion out in Cancer Corner a little earlier.
That's right.
You had some theories about Gumby.
Yes, that everybody that produced Gumby was on LSD 25.
As opposed to LSD 24.
Right. LSD 25 is a little better, I guess.
LSD 25.
I was like checking in halfway through with Joe through the show just to make sure we're doing okay.
Very important to do on a Friday.
Good idea. It's a fantastic Friday show.
Very, very
okay,
important.
Thank you. Bye, LSD 25.
Sure. Bye-bye. Gumby was produced by people on LSD 25.
Ask Word by name.
Yeah,
we will be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Enough!
Yeah?
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
Right, what are we gonna do?
Everybody step in! The Don and Mike. About to open the window.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Is that right, Sam?
Hey, you have to figure something out.
All right, well, I know what I gotta do. We're in a 200-foot aluminum tube, and we're 30,000 feet in the air. And any one of those slimy little pieces of shit can trip a circuit or a relay or a hydraulic, and this bird goes down faster than a tie hooker.
Yeah.
That's right. I land in the news again. I am, sorry about
that. I am. That's good news. Snakes on crack.
A daily 4-hour salute to all you filthy sea bags. Don and Mike.
You effing idiot. You effing C word.
That's what I'm looking for.
Hello.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Don Geronimo, Michael Mara.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Mike from Bakersfield, California. Hey, I just want you to know that they tape delay your show, and you guys need to tell them not to tape delay your show.
Right.
Terrific.
We will stop tape delaying the show.
I give you
stop
a positive
show.
You probably don't know this. You probably don't care, but that song that you played is probably
Stay With Me
in my top two. All-time favorite songs. Yeah. I absolutely adore that. I used to play it back when it first came out. I played it all the time. I love that song.
Yep. You just totally disregarded what that valued listener had to say.
I'm sorry. Damn it.
Let me repeat what that listener just said.
Was he from Bakersfield?
This is what that listener just said.
Right. Get it.
Moments ago.
All right. Get it.
If you break it down, is Bakersfield actually worse than Sacramento?
Would you stop it? Hey, did you put this on the website today, Kong?
Good.
Okay.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
As always, Rob is looking for the timeliest and most topical of guests. However, he could not book this person on the show. Her name is Dorothy Allison because she's dead.
Oh.
But back in 1988, she's a psychic. She got a vision of the person who killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah.
And there's the striking charcoal sketch that she made. The kind of looks like the guy from Thailand.
That's pretty chilling, actually. Yeah. That is pretty chilling.
It's chilling, actually.
There's your proof.
There you go.
It's either him or the Sports Junkies producer.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris.
Or it's
Boomhauer.
I think I heard that they're giving him a hard time about that.
I heard that,
just because I know him, that is a very, very funny.
You mean
character.
Chris Kinard?
Yes.
Yeah, that's who he looks
Chris
like.
Kinard.
Chris Kinard. Christopher Kinard?
No. Think about it. Get his middle name. You get his middle name and it would be even better. You mean Christopher Malcolm Kiner? From Thailand?
Oh, hey, listen, but before we, oh, God, I got a great gay thing here. First, when we had Patton on the phone, or maybe earlier, we were discussing, I don't know, it was a caller about Mel Gibson or Jews or something about that. I can't wait to see that movie, Jews on a Plane, this weekend. And I mentioned one of my favorite Jews is Adam Sandler.
Right.
And he is really doing his part to help out the people in his homeland, in Israel. Now, you know they were going through this war.
Yes.
Okay, and they need stuff over there.
Right.
And unlike Katrina, where you saw celebrities go in and help out and look for publicity, Adam Sandler is not looking for publicity.
Under the radar.
He recently had a meeting with Israeli representatives here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And Adam Sandler is donating to the people in Israel whose houses were destroyed by
Hezbollah rockets.
I always call them Hasbro.
Right.
Or Harrow. What's the name of the...
Harrow.
The German company that makes gummy bears. Harrow? No. Anyway, yeah, right. So the Hezbollah, he's giving them 400 new PlayStations. Now they,
Bravo!
They're living in Barney Rubble right now, and they don't have houses or electricity.
Right.
But he's shipped over 400 new PlayStations.
Well, let's do the math, too, on the simple financial equation. You know,
and not PS2.
Right.
Original PlayStation.
Originals?
Original PlayStations.
Oh, man, and no wireless controllers, I bet.
Thank you, friend.
Wow.
Mike?
Yes?
I know that you, like myself, or at least... partially gay.
He's a fag.
I believe it was up to 11% the last time I checked.
Well, I've got all kinds of gay stuff. I'll just wait to tell you about this. Now, there are some obvious things here. What I found is on a gay-oriented website, and I'm there all the time. I'm just doing research for the show, understand?
That's what you tell everybody.
There's all kinds of brand name products, items that you purchase, and TV networks that you watch, magazines that you buy, that gay people like better than other people.
Okay.
Now let's see if you can guess. Some of them are very, very easy.
Yeah.
For instance, the gayest brand in America. And I want to thank the Gay and Lesbian Association of America. They have this on their website.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the favorite magazine is among homo men?
ESPN, the magazine.
You're funny.
I'm not even trying to be. I'm just trying
You're a funny man.
I'm trying to hurt people.
It's Men's Health.
Men's Health. That doesn't surprise me. Do you have a copy back there?
No, I do not.
Well, hold on a second. I just want to stop you for a second. Then grab the one that you do have and tell me if that is not a gay magazine. Show Don the cover. No, the other Men's Fitness. Oh, they're all chicks.
Yeah.
All right, now go on the back cover. Let me see.
I know the one you're thinking of. The one you're thinking of, Mike.
So that's right, but I'm sorry. I give you a heads up. Are there pictures of men with their shirts
hold
off?
Hold on.
That
there is another men's magazine out, and I know what you're thinking.
I think it's Men's
where
Health.
Where it's like a black and white photo of a guy like doing a Calvin Klein ad or something. It seems always on the cover, right? Rob, just say it. Don't write it. Just say it, boy. God damn, you slow the show down sometimes.
Anal Health. But are there lots of men? Now, you're getting sneaky. I know. I looked at that magazine, and there are lots of men with their shirts off in that magazine.
Inside, yeah. And
inside. Inside.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Oh, the inside.
Okay. How about for lesbos? What's the number one lesbo magazine?
The number one lesbo magazine would be... Oh, man, this is... I'm going to say Women's Fitness.
It is People Magazine.
All right.
People Magazine. Let me see. The cable TV. Here, not a surprise. Bravo is the number one choice,
right, okay,
for gays. How about just for gay men, though? I'm going to give you four choices.
All right.
Which is the most popular cable channel for gay men? Is it Comedy Central, HBO, Showtime, or A&E?
Showtime.
You're a big, fat loser.
Really?
Buzz.
Well, I'll say, was Bravo one of the choices again? I'll say Bravo.
No. These are about five. Bravo.
Did you think it would be Showtime?
I did. That was my guess.
You're a loser, too. How about you, Robbie Bobby Boo? I just yelled out a moment ago, but now I've swung around, and you're my buddy again.
Home box office.
You're right.
Thank you.
I'm
surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, how about lesbos? Mm. For lesbos, the most popular TV station channel besides Bravo... Showtime.
Showtime. A lot of gay content on Showtime. Right.
Okay. Lesbians also like A&E, Discovery, HBO, just like male fags. That's a nice way of describing male fags. As opposed to female fags.
No offense.
And Animal Planet.
Where's Logo?
Now, this is what hurts... Logo. This is what hurts the gay community. This is why people like me make a living doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do you think the number one most popular TV show of 78% of all gay men is?
I'm going to go with the obvious Will and Grace.
That's why we are able to get away with that.
Yeah.
Then you have Queer as Folk, Queer Eye, and then Desperate Housewives.
Is Queer as Folk on Showtime? Is that where that's on?
It was. I think it's over now.
Okay. Let me see. Lesbos, their favorite TV show is The L Word on Showtime.
Mm-hmm. Good show.
Then they like Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, so do I.
Then they like Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And good for them. There must be a bunch of butchies. They're like CFI.
Oh.
They like CFI.
That's wonderful.
Helgenberg.
Now, for men, you had the number one choice was Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
Then Queer as Folk, right. Queer Eye, Desperate Housewives, and...
Yeah, Desperate Housewives.
In fifth place for gay men, and again, this is why guys like us can make jokes all the time. Syndicated episodes of The Golden Girls.
That's a wild card.
That is a wild card.
Not a joke.
Well, I'm so sorry for laughing.
A few other random picks, and we got to do a quick break so we can get to somebody who's having a birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most popular car among gay and lesbian people?
The Prius.
No.
Subaru?
No, Robbie.
The Probe.
It's Ford.
Taurus?
No, just Ford. Just most popular car.
Oh, the Ford. Oh, the brand name. Oh, good.
So they're a Ford.
They're a fine sponsor.
What's the most popular gay airline?
Oh, boy. JetBlue?
No. Bobby.
Oh, I would have said JetBlue. I don't know.
Jet Pink.
It's American airline.
How about for gay men? What's the most popular hotel chain? Oh, boy.
Hilton?
I'm a gay man. No.
Bobby.
Days Inn.
No.
Rob. Red Roof?
I'm Red Roof
Bobblehead.
I'm trying the Marriott Burger.
Oh, really?
Marriott. I wonder how the Mormons feel about that.
Very.
You're not having gay sex in your smoking room.
Yeah, no porn. Or bad porn.
How about for women? Most popular gay hotel, lesbo hotel, is Beth Western.
That's kind of funny.
The most popular beer among gay men, Mike O'Mara.
Corona.
Nope. Buzz.
I'll say Budweiser.
Could you answer that in another form of a not question?
I'll say Budweiser.
No, I was looking for another kind of Budweiser.
Oh. Michelob Ultra.
Robbie have it.
Yeah, that's the most popular beer.
Bud Light.
Yeah, Bud Light.
Bud Light's super popular.
Bud Light.
Everybody.
That's popular, isn't it? The Light?
Yeah, the Light.
Most popular computer.
Does that have less calories? Most popular? Dell.
That's right.
I'm good at this.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know, it's gotten up to 11%.
A little too good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Mr. Men's Fitness. Thought I got you on that one.
Yeah.
Who's the favorite comedian of gay men?
Monsieur Carrot Top.
Now you're being funny again.
Well, I just thought he might be. The favorite comedian?
Yes.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Buzz?
The Cure for AIDS guy. We were just talking about him. I've forgotten his name.
Andy Dick.
Andy Dick. No.
Lopez?
Oh. Jerry Seinfeld.
Still?
Gay men love Jerry Seinfeld.
No. Hang in there, Jer. Way to go.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, because he's so neat, and he eats his cereal, and he puts it back nice and neat.
And the famous funny lady, their favorite funny lady?
This is easy. This is slam dunk. Elaine Boozler.
Incidentally, when you
silly.
If you know, over the last 5 years, you ask me anything with a female comedian, I will always go to Elaine Boozler.
You always win.
I love
no,
the name.
It's Ellen. Would you stop it? It's Ellen.
Yes.
It's Ellen. And finally, favorite color. Favorite color. Gay men. Favorite color.
I'm going to say red.
No, Bud.
Purple.
No, Robbie.
Brown.
you know, we go right to Middle America with you, don't we? Brown.
I know.
They call it Baby Bird Blue. Oh.
Baby Bird Blue.
Baby Bird Blue.
What is... Is there a similarity between Baby Bird Blue and Robin's Egg Blue?
No. They're different. Boy.
Did you volunteer Robin's Egg at the same time?
I did.
I believe Buzz and I have established the fact that we are the most gay of all of us here.
How about women? What's the gay woman's favorite color?
No, I'm going to say...
I just want to say this is kind of a shocker with 56%.
Hmm. I'm going to say black.
My God. No, you're wrong.
Wrong.
I'm just playing with you.
Wrong. I'll say pink.
That's too obvious. Robbie.
Green.
green. Winner, it's green.
Green, congratulations.
How did he know? Part lesbian.
You are part lesbo.
I'm being love green. I love green.
I wonder why did I
green so much, boy. Big boy. Get out of that Ford and get your Men's Health magazine.
Go watch Will and Grace.
For goodness sake.
And then we'll take a vacation flying American Airlines.
Look at those lesbians watching CFI. What do they know that we don't know?
Pretty interesting list. There are a few surprises on there.
Put on the Golden Girls.
Now, that was the wild card.
Yeah.
Golden Girls.
Right. Okay, that's it from here. Got a break. Come right back. Mentioned birthday. We're going to have a birthday party.
Oh.
We'll come right back.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Incredible.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
It's Don and Mike on the Pike next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno Style Show. Hooters and Rockville. That's how I roll.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Oh, exactly. Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show. 98% effective against chiggers and ticks. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, hello, everybody.
Well, hello.
Hello there. Hey, you just heard our next party is a week from Wednesday at Hooters.
All right.
Rockville, Maryland. Check out our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, for more information. And you can hear the show now on podcasting. On podcast. Go to iTunes. Very important to note, you don't have to have an iPod. If you have an MP3 player, you should be able to download this crap, right? And you don't have to have the name brand iPod.
What sort of machine would that be?
What sort of machine would what be?
An MP3 player.
I don't know.
Or you can listen on your computer.
This portal is shoe. What's that?
What?
A computer?
It's the machine you plug your iPod into.
Fascinating.
Like a typewriter.
The hours we could discuss these technological innovations.
You know, I'm so glad that we have finally gotten into a world that appeared to me many years ago, a vision of the future, called the George Michael sports machine.
That's incredible. He actually pushes the button. You see him push it, and then
a big reel of tape.
Miraculously, a highlight appears.
This portion of the show at West of One today brought to you by eSurance.com, instant online car insurance. So sure, tomorrow don't mean nothing to you. It's a regular day.
Right.
Tomorrow, it's Bubba's 60th birthday.
Wow, that's great.
Come on in, where's the King of Stink?
How are you?
Here is the King of Stink.
Oh, come on, where's my applause? Yeah. How are you, dog?
It is great to see you, Billy.
Oh, it's great to be here. Tell the truth. And look at me right in the eye. Do I look like I'm 60 years old?
No, sir.
I don't. I'm feeling a little slowing down just ever so slightly. I don't mind telling you. It's good to see all of you. Last time I was on your show on any kind of regular basis, I was President of the United States. May I sit?
Have a seat.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I'm so very busy. I'd first of all like to thank the Rolling Stones will be playing in my birthday party sometime in October. They couldn't do it right now, but we're going to delay it and have a good time. And here I am, soon to be the first gentleman. I'm coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sirree. How are you? It's good to see you. What I like more than anything else about this show is sitting down and relaxing with all your friends. It's really good to be here. How are you? Good to see you, dear.
I'm doing great. How are you, Mr.
Wonderful. I feel, can I say seriously?
Sir?
Can I look at you in the eye, just between you and me?
Yes, sir.
How effed up is this country? Really? I mean, my goodness, I'm enjoying the greatest popularity numbers I've ever seen.
Sir?
Well, Monkey Boy in the White House is just second wind. Yes, yes, sir. Yeah, Donnie?
I've got to be honest. I normally ask.
You go ahead.
I ask a favor of you.
Yes.
I don't have to ask today.
I know what it is, and I prepared this time. Well, just driving over here, I had met a lovely young lady in the airport, and she, of course, was an enormous fan of my administration. And, well, we had time to do what you enjoy, and I'd be happy to present them to you. Would you like to smell my fingers?
You are reading my mind,
take
there.
Take a whiff. Pretty good. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Well, it's a warm day. This is great. I would like to tell all your
listeners. Boy, you know what I like, Mr. President.
And you know what? I'm going to give you a double whammy right now. This is the right hand. I'm going to let you smell the left hand. What's the problem? It was just a little me.
No.
Well, you might enjoy that, too. You were doing your gay segment.
No, it smells like, you know.
Well, I suppose I didn't lecture you on my desire for occasional experimentation. You should open up the world for yourself. You really should.
Don't bite your fingernails, Mr. President.
I understand, but I did please you, I hope. I like to please lots of people, and I'd like to just say this.
Yes, sir.
This is William Jefferson Clinton.
Happy birthday.
I will turn 60. It's serious times and serious issues that we face in this country. And I want to tell you that through it all, I guarantee I will do my utmost to do what I can do to get laid. Yeah, just kidding. No, I'm not. I'm really serious. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
When you turn 60, certain things don't work quite as well as they used to, but I have developed a wonderful technique with that marvelous, marvelous blue pill. Produced right here in the United States.
Viagra?
Right here in America.
Yeah.
Fabulous company that's put this thing together. This is a great product. Senator Dole and I were actually promoting it at one point together. And he informed me.
Yeah, like he can get it up.
Well, he can with that pill. You'd be amazed. Any man, even in the most debilitated state, in the most tragic, terrible situation, can take that pill.
What about Bush Sr.?
Bush Sr. can
you hang out with him all the time?
He's a wonderful
man. Can he still get a boner?
We've developed quite a relationship. I've got to tell you this right now. Let me tell you. George Sr.
Yeah.
is fully aware of the challenges of his son.
You mean that
and
his
I
son
mean
is
the mental challenges.
The mental challenges.
Yes. He explained to me a long time ago when George was just an infant, he was dropped not once but four times on individual separate occasions on his head. People don't realize it because your mainstream media, which they always talk about, unfortunately will not put this out in the press that he has brain damage. I'm serious. I am serious as a Kentucky moon. He has brain damage. But that's another story. I was getting back to the Viagra.
Yeah.
Your Viagra is a wonderful, wonderful product developed right here in America. What you do, you don't take it normally. What I like to do, and of course I'm not always in need of it, if you know what I mean.
I understand.
What I like to do is take the pill, you grind it up into a firm powder. And you put it under your tongue. You take two, not instead of one.
Did you get this from Joe?
You grind up two, not one. Put it under your tongue. Instant.
Really?
Now, I have the problem because I read on the bag that if it lasts more than 4 hours, you have to consult a doctor.
Boner City, right?
Well, at that particular time, due to the fact that I put it in a powder form and it went immediately into my bloodstream, I had a six-hour chub.
Wow.
It was very, but I tell you, if you know how to use it, you can be very, very satisfied and not scared or in pain or anything like that. And speaking of pain,
I feel
people's pain. I really do.
When's the last time you felt Hillary's pain?
A very, very long time ago.
When's the last time you felt her ass?
Oh, please. We're not going to talk about it. I thought that was off limits, dear.
When's the last time you cupped her soft, feminine breast? Or perhaps grab one of those meaty thighs.
Very sad time. I don't even like to think about
it. You have to
that.
Bang her, right?
Let me explain to you about it. I'm not going to answer, of course. I'm going to do what I do best, which is not answer your questions directly, but I'm happy to discuss that subject that you brought up.
Do you have to service the account?
When a couple's been together a long time, occasionally they share things that go beyond the ways of man and woman love. Hillary and I have developed a close and personal relationship that transcends any sexual activity.
So you don't bang her at all?
Well, I don't want to say just like that. I don't want to say I don't bang her at all. What I will tell you is...
Do you at least like bang her on a birthday or something?
I'm afraid not.
What about like a Mother's Day?
Hillary and I have very busy schedules, and unfortunately we're not able to be in the same state at the same time. She is so extremely busy. What with her senatorial duties from the state of New York and with my travel schedule internationally, we just don't have time to see each other, much less do the nasty. Make the beast with two backs. Our activities are governed by a lunar schedule. You see, Hillary will be there on one moon cycle, and I'll be there on another, and it's just got to be right. I told her this a long time ago. People do not put enough faith in the moon cycles as far as their sexual energy. Now, at the time I was president, I was in a very active lunar cycle almost 24/7, and it was necessary for me to function as your president. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
I could not have run this country without getting sex on a regular basis.
Are you going to get sex at your birthday party tomorrow?
I'm going to get sex for the next month. This is the Bill Clinton two-month birthday gala. We're having a fantastic time. I have to say, I'm a big fan of the Stones. You know, I studied in London. And I love Mick Jagger and Keith and Charlie Watts and all those guys. They're well into their 60s, and they get laid all the time. But may I say, I would like to list my accomplishments. In this time and turmoil in the Middle East, it's very important for me to tell you that...
Let's look back at how good things were when you were in charge.
Well, I don't like to brag outside of being responsible for the world economic boom, reforming welfare, reducing the deficit, and my Middle East diplomacy... Get them laid. That's my Middle East diplomacy. I should tell this president, but he will not see me. He will not take my calls. Huh. We will see each other at occasional funerals, but I would like to sit him down and say, Mr. President, you have to know one thing. The mind of the Middle Easterner is very, very active in the ways of love. Are you familiar with the book, a little tome known as 1001 Arabian Nights? It's true. They love it, absolutely.
Do you think he's...
I once slept with Bill Wyman. Huh? That was part of my experimental phase.
Were you at Oxford then?
Yeah, I believe I was briefly. And they came through, and they were a small, young band of firm musicians at that point. And, well, I did inhale, and one thing led to another. I thought it was not my cup of tea, but it certainly was an interesting experimentation.
May I ask your opinion as a man?
Yes.
The First Lady, Laura Bush, would you do her?
In a... heartbeat.
Huh.
She is
what
so
about,
pretty.
What about her?
That's the thing about turning 60. When you turn 60, you get to look at women in a totally different way. And the older they get, you know, when I used to like a tight sweater, now what I enjoy, and please don't take this the wrong way. What may have been a tight sweater in my 30s is now a simple pearl necklace. I truly love those accessories. I really do.
You're a fan of the pearl necklace, aren't you?
But there's one thing I urge all of your listeners to avoid.
What's that?
As a woman ages, you should point out this to them. Their hands slowly turn into claws. Now, in order to fulfill your obligations of sexual nature, you have to avoid looking at those hands.
Those talons.
The most beautiful woman with the best color job with her hair and a beautiful makeup and a lovely dressed woman, unfortunately, can all be given away if you look down at a badger's hands.
What are Hillary's hands like?
Hillary's hands have deteriorated to such an extent, I urge all of you, please, when you get an opportunity, see her on television. If the shot is wide enough, look down at what has become of those horrible Freddy Krueger hands of hers. They are just not attractive. And I tell her now, because with the lunar cycles, we don't have sex anymore. But I tell you, she kills my mood. She is a buzzkill when she puts those things in front of me. She's down to seven fingers. People don't know these things.
Have you ever been with the Bushes and felt yourself coming on to Laura Bush?
Because
I know you have a hard time keeping it in your presidential pants.
Oh.
What?
There was something in my throat. God damn it. Let me ask you this question this way.
Yeah?
Laura Bush and I have had opportunities due to the fact that we appear at several functions every year or so together to what I would describe as make Billy Eye. Have you ever heard me talk about that?
No.
When I was on the campaign circuit in Arkansas...
For Billy Eye?
It's the Billy Eye. And I tell you, women are powerless against its incredible seduction powers. The Billy Eye has been delivered towards the First Lady on a number of occasions. Unfortunately, my own First Lady, the Senator from New York, has not received the Billy Eye for a very, very long time. The Billy Eye is really something I've used seductively for a long time. Let me show you how it works.
Okay.
I'll walk up in a crowd and a line of people, especially if they're young enough, and I'll go... How are you, dear? You squint a little bit. It works really well. I'm very, very excited about it.
You know,
incidentally, I'd like to tell everybody, I hope you don't forget the fact that I ended the war in Bosnia. Thank you very much. I'll take your applause.
You know, when you do that thing with your eye, you should get this thing that I have here. You should get this, a thing like that. So when you give a woman the eye, you got to have this little piece of equipment so you get that little, like...
How are you, dear? Hello, how are you? I do, I do like to say one final time that I found the First Lady Laura Bush very attractive, but I did have a bad moment with Barbara.
Huh?
One time, you know, actually quite recently.
What happened?
Well, all I was doing was hugging her.
You know what?
I was hugging her. God damn it, I got that thing in my throat again, and my hand mysteriously slipped down. She took it the wrong way, and one thing led to another.
You caught the feel from Barbara Bush?
I did not. Let me tell you something. I did not grab that elderly woman's ass. I didn't do it. I did not. My hand slipped. Quite firm. Miraculously so for a larger woman.
Would you do her?
Yes, I would. She's, you know, people look at her and she has that grandmotherly reputation, but I find her body to be quite muscular in a very strange way. Her neck is extremely thick.
What about Candy Rice? Condi Rice, would you do her?
Of course I would. She was voted recently in People magazine to be one of the best-dressed women.
What about those teeth, though?
Doesn't matter. You know, I have a friend of mine that's been a disc jockey for a number of years, and he told me one time in a moment of confidence, Mr. Clinton, at the time, Mr. President, remember one thing. You don't F the face. Mm-hmm. And I have taken that to heart. But you do look at the hands. So please remember, as they age, don't look at those terrible burned hooks that turn into women's hands after 60.
Well, happy birthday to you. Have a great one.
I tell you, it's tragic. It really is. I took Hillary's hand one time at a photo op, and her skin began to slough off. Highly disturbing. But happy birthday to me. I don't look 60, do I?
No, you do not.
I'm thinking of coloring my hair. Alan Coulter red. I truly am. How'd you know? I'm going back out of the car. Hello, dear.
President of the United States.
Former president of the United States.
Well, don't they get to be called the president forever?
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Mr. President.
No, he had that thing about hands.
No.
Wonderful man.
Interesting.
Wonderful, horny man.
Yeah, my hero.
I like my presidents horny.
You know, Mike, there's truth in all comedy, and I hope that the ladies listening heard the message you gave.
I do, too. Without question.
That's why they sell a little product called Palmolive.
Yeah.
As you're doing the dishes, it makes your hands soft.
Softens your hands while you do dishes.
Thank you, Rob. That's the useless bit of knowledge I was looking for.
That's why this show is entertaining and educational. I hope the women of America take it to heart.
So, come on. Cream your hands.
Take it to hand.
Make your hands look nice for your man.
Cream yourself like Tiny Tim used to.
Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz, you have creamy hands.
Yes, I do.
That was very gay.
That was gay. Well, there are homoerotic undertones with the whole broadcast today, which I always, you know what I call that?
What?
I call that our comfort zone.
Well, I call this Buzz Time. And Buzz, with his new segments coming right up.
Right.
See, we've dropped the whole thing now with the song and the thing. So we'll just...
Number 4 Arbitron Radio.
See, the thing
the
is...
The Don and Mike Show.
That's the word from Planet Crespa.
The Don and Mike Show.
They want to sing. La la, la 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 la. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, that reminds me of our tapes of Travis pretending to be people. Goddamn, before the show today.
Oh, did we have our... You gave us a little private show.
Warm up. I called the whores, the sex lines, testing out the equipment myself before the show.
Oh,
used all the Jack Bauer tapes, used all of the Larry King tapes, had this one phone whore on for like 30 minutes.
It was delightful.
With Dr. Phil over and over again talking to her, saying stuff like...
When are you coming over so I can F you?
What was great was she would say, she would be long periods of silence, and she would go, I just...
Shut the F up.
She'd go, okay.
Very obedient.
You know, that's the main drawback about doing the show on regular radio as opposed to satellite.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing, besides the cash, that is the most appealing.
Right.
Is the fact that we could go back and do the show like we did 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where you would call somebody, hell, on satellite, you don't have to tell them they're on the air.
Right.
I mean, we used to just say to people, you're on the air.
Right.
Now we've got to do all this crap with, do we have your permission? Do we put you on the internet? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So before the show today, we're just screwing around. Oh, boy, that'd be fun. Oh, and I also called Colette at the front desk.
Man, that's what that brought the room
JFK.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
And she laughed, too. She laughed, too. She knew about 5 seconds into it who was doing that.
She figured it out.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Buzz is brought to us by Hooters.
You like Hooters, right, Phil?
Slut, skank, whore.
Well, now would you Phil, stop that?
Now that's not going to get us a very warm welcome.
Dr. Phil. Buzz's News brought to you by Hooters. This season, let Hooters put a little fantasy in your football. Host your fantasy football draft party at Hooters. Huh. And now here is...
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Howdy.
Oh, just one more word of warning to the million or so people who use MySpace. It has cooties. Computer experts say hackers have arrived and have developed hidden software that makes users of MySpace open to an attack even if they're just viewing pages.
Not attack, man.
They say the viruses can change your settings, delete your files, track your adventures, and even damage the computer itself. Quoting one expert, even a picture of a fluffy bunny rabbit can contain hidden software that could harm your machine.
You know, next week I know I do sometimes too much inside radio stuff, reading stuff from magazines and everything, but... Buzz, it just reminded me that there were two things I was reading in Radio and Records magazine this past week. One was explaining what a podcast is to your listeners.
Oh, okay.
Right, in case they don't know. Hey, what were you just talking about?
MySpace.
Oh, mm-hmm. The other thing was there are articles now in all the magazines for DJs saying that this is the new way now to connect with your listeners and that if you don't have a MySpace page, mm-hmm. well, forget it.
Yeah, you're out of it.
Hang your headphones up,
right?
That if you're not on MySpace, and if you don't have all your listeners on as friends,
right?
And then the article even goes on to say that there's some disc jockey in Norfolk or Hampton Roads, mm-hmm. something like that. Guy gives out his cell phone number and his pager number and his what's the Paris Hilton thing? The
Blackberry?
Not the Crackberry. The
Trio.
The Trio. Yeah. That thing that opens up. Right. That if you want to request, like on the weekend. For Monday's show,
uh-huh.
he's accessible 24/7.
That's great.
And if you go to voicemail, you just get his voicemail. But he's got like 7,000 friends on MySpace.
That's impressive.
So, you know, give him a little message and send him
a life.
So, you know, meanwhile, I'm looking through this entire article was about how MySpace can help your show. And it's like all these DJs are saying it's great, but they no one's saying like, oh, my ratings increased, you know, 25-fold.
No, well, they did if that demographic gets pedophiles. They went up by leaps and bounds.
Pedophiles.
Although, don't they say there are not many pedophiles on MySpace?
They do say that.
And how do they prove that? That's what I'd like to ask them.
Know.
Like, there aren't a bunch of horn doggy sickos like those guys we saw on Dateline that are out there going, hey, look at that, man.
It is predominantly teenagers, so if you're targeting teens for whatever reason, commercial or otherwise.
No, this was on, like, for regular adult radio. Like, hey, you know, it's another way for your listeners to connect with you.
But teens still make up most of the MySpace subscribers. Now, more and more corporations are getting their MySpace pages. Now, even politicians are getting MySpace pages in preparation for the upcoming election.
How are you?
He gets laid on that.
That'd be perfect. The expert goes on to say, though, about these animations, like little bunny rabbits and things on people's MySpace pages carrying viruses. Quoting the expert, the problem is people tend to let their guard down because they think the site is safe, end quote.
Does anybody besides me think that it's not going to be like Yahoo or Google, that MySpace is going to... I mean, if anything, if I'm hooked on any site, it's YouTube.
Yeah, and that's overtaken MySpace in popularity.
I mean, I go to YouTube almost every day now and can find something just about every day that makes me laugh on YouTube.
They're saying it as he just said, and that's the same way why it's not going to be another Yahoo. There will be something that is related to it that will rise to the top. That's always the way it seems to work on the internet. With these internet sites, that's how it goes.
I like the other site, F
YouTube. F YouTube.
It's not a bad idea.
I like the Irish site, U2.
Oh, that's all good.
Yes, thank you.
Now, just because a flight makes an emergency landing in Boston does not mean that the person responsible is a terrorist. Sometimes they're just mentally unstable. Sometimes they're just flakes on a plane. In the case of this
you said flakes on a plane.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Right.
Everybody strap in.
In the case,
I have to open some window.
In the case, I got to see that. In the case of this week's diversion of a flight from D.C. to London, it was not a terrorist, but a 59-year-old white woman from Vermont. The pilot declared an emergency, and fighter jets escorted the flight to Logan. Here's what happened.
That's good news. Snakes on crack.
What was going on? The woman was pacing the plane. At one point, she asked a flight attendant, quote, is this a training flight for United Flight 93? That, of course, is the plane that went down in Pennsylvania, 9/11.
Not bright.
She demanded to speak to an air marshal. She said he should see the banned items she had in her purse. That's how we first heard about the screwdriver that wasn't there. When they let her speak with the captain, she said there are six steps to building some unspecified thing, end quote. In a lucid moment...
She said the word some unspecified thing?
That's what she said. That was her code for, you know, bomb.
Right.
Now, in a lucid moment, she did rant about President Bush and liberty, but then she forever damaged her credibility by taking down her pants to urinate in the aisle. That's when a couple of passengers they had seen enough and they restrained the woman.
Wait, now hold on a second.
Yeah?
You know, I had not heard this part of the story.
Right.
She goes to the bathroom in the middle of the airplane.
Yes.
Really, I understand she's mentally challenged.
She's a lunatic.
Do we really think she's a terrorist?
No, we don't. That's what the
terrorists go to the bathroom in the middle. I mean, well, the only person I know does is Rudy Martsky.
Yeah. And that guy that the flight attendant talked about.
You know, it's like they said, no liquid.
It was bad. Very bad.
That lady is one of my MySpace friends.
You're lucky.
So be careful.
Now, her son says we have it all wrong. He says she's just not comfortable with flying.
Right.
Quoting him, she's harmless. She had a stressful flight and people overreacted.
Does that mean I can do it the next time we travel?
I got another question.
Yes?
If you've got a nutty lady on a flight who's saying all this stuff, why does she get to talk to the captain of the plane?
Good question.
If you're crazy enough and they think the flight's in danger, they will do whatever it takes
But why
get the situation under control.
And my question would be for the captain, who is solely responsible. He is the he is law.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Peter Graves should have really assessed that as, hey, this is a nut, this is a whack job. Why did they have to go to Boston?
He could have, Peter Graves could have seen it through the peephole.
Yeah, why did they have to go to Boston? That's what I don't understand. Why did they divert?
Kenny Loggins asked him to.
I'd love to hear it. Has the pilot given any kind of a press conference or anything?
Like that? Here's what the pilot has to say.
I'm on the second bear.
Stop it now.
Maybe she was hot.
She was hot. Guilty of being hot.
Describing herself as a child of the 60s, she appeared in court in her Rolling Stones t-shirt.
Yeah, Joe.
There you go, Joe.
Joe Arringer.
Clearly, some people shouldn't just even be getting on airplanes, like the 28-year-old woman of Pakistani descent who tried to board in West Virginia with liquids in her carry-on luggage. As if that wasn't red flag enough, the bottles kept testing positive for explosives. The truth is, certain household cleaners will also test positive as explosives, and in this case, no actual explosives were found.
I was just bringing my Mr. Clean. I was just bringing Formula 409.
The woman's mother believes it was a case of racial profiling.
Yeah. This way, Mr. Josh Luke.
That's not a bad idea.
Where's Barus? She was a maid, Jack.
Racial profiling, not a bad idea to the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee. Peter King is saying this, even though a guy he grew up with, a guy he respects a lot, thinks the idea is nuts. New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says racial profiling is ineffective.
Kelly.
Yes, R. Kelly. That's the one. And as head of U.S. Customs, he eliminated the practice. Even the attorney general.
He's a MySpace friend of mine.
Yes.
R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
I met lots of chicks there.
Yeah, I'll bet. Even the attorney general is against racial profiling for some reason. Gonzalez, I think, is his name. Even a conservative think tank, the Cato Institute, is against it. But Homeland Security Chairman Peter King says he's for it.
Cato Kalin. So you think Cato from Green Hornet. I think Cato Kalin.
I was thinking Cato from the Pink Panther.
Cato?
Oh.
Cato. And, see, then there's three famous Catos.
Right.
At least. He wants special attention paid to the people of Mid-Eastern and South Asian descent.
No, Buzz, I think that's it.
No, I think there might be more.
Another Cato?
Yeah.
Go, Buzz.
Well, no, I don't know them. I'd have
to Google
that.
Hold on a second. Go ahead and Google it.
All right.
Google Cato. Came up with one more famous, K-A-T-O, than Cato Kalin. Cato from the Green Hornet.
This and the Cato Institute.
And the Cato from Pink Panther.
And then the fourth is the Cato Institute.
Good call letters.
Cato Pacific.
K-A-T-O.
Makes sauces and condiments.
Delicious.
Cato Pacific. Yeah. A real company.
Nope, you lose.
That's what it said.
You lose. I'm sorry. Clean out your new desk. Go home. Have a good weekend. Think about what you've done.
Okay. Right. I will. Let's see. Where were you? Oh, he wants special attention paid.
You're so funny following your script.
You know, let's see what funny, were we? There are interesting things in here I just don't want to forget. Anyway, this guy, the head of the...
How you doing?
It's Goopy Friday.
Let me go back and read where I was. Oh, yes, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee wants special attention paid to people of Middle Eastern and South Asian descent.
Right.
He's not alone. A columnist on the Fox News Channel this week called for a separate airport security line just for Muslims.
I'm for it, Jackson. No joking.
Just so long as it isn't shorter.
Yeah, no reason for them to get an unfair advantage
right.
Getting on my airplane.
One man stands virtually alone in trying to bring people together. His story when we continue.
Air Geronimo.
What was
one man is standing practically alone in his struggle to bring people together.
Okay.
His story when we continue.
Tease. Okay. Yes.
You're a goddamn genius.
Didn't realize you were teasing there, being a pro.
You know, the woman, the Muslim woman that I saw in Target the other day, really, she was wearing the whole hood and the outfit in it, but she looked like Alfred E. Newman. I swear to God, she had red hair.
Wow.
She had red hair and she had that, but she was wearing the suit.
A disguise.
What line does she stand in?
Let's go beat her up.
Rob. Number 4 Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. It's Don and Mike on the Pike next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Don and Mike and their whole wacky crew invade Hooters on Rockville Pike. Come on out for some wings and perhaps a breast. Don't miss Don and Mike's triumphant Maryland debut. You'll wish that the night would never end. And who knows, maybe it won't. The Don and Mike Reno Style Show.
Yeah.
Hooters on Rockville. That's how I roll.
See you there.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone.
Well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for this.
And more.
And more.
The Don and Mike Show. They'll make you shart. The Don and Mike Show.
Big buzz.
Yeah.
Tell me something good.
I always try.
Chuck-a-cock-a-cock-a-cock-a-cock. Nobody will
say that. Yeah.
Hi there, buddies.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
One man has practically stood alone in the effort to close the gap between Republicans and Democrats. Utah Senator Orrin Hatch has repeatedly expressed sorrow at the bitter partisanship in Washington. But now, he says a Democratic retaking of Congress this fall could help the terrorists.
I've always thought he's a bit of a tool.
Well,
I believe he's a stain.
They are, quoting Hatch, waiting for the Democrats here to take control, let things cool off, and then strike again. It meshes perfectly with the vice president's statement that Lieberman's recent primary defeat may encourage, quote, the Al-Qaeda types. Yesterday at a campaign appearance, Cheney added, no one can guarantee we will not be hit again, but the relative safety in recent years is not an accident.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Quoting a political scientist at Brigham Young, fear is a powerful emotion. Politicians use it.
I'm not afraid of him.
We should take Little Richard's advice.
Look out.
Look out. Whoa, yeah. Look out. Look out.
Look out.
There you go. I'm pleased to report that overall teen pregnancy is down in this country. They didn't get the memo, though, in Canton, Ohio. Every 1 in 6 birth in Canton, Ohio.
I thought you were going to say everyone in Canton is pregnant.
No, almost. Every 1 in 6 births in Canton is to a mother who's between the ages of 11 and 18.
Welcome to the Pro Clitoris Hall of Fame.
And with nearly...
That's an NFL Hall of Fame joke.
They're in Canton.
What else is in Canton, Ohio?
Nothing.
Ever heard of anything there?
No.
13% of the girls at one high school in Canton are pregnant. With nearly 500 female students, that's a lot of swollen bellies.
And all of those girls are fathered by... have had their children fathered by Samhoff on Hall of Fame weekend.
The greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
I don't know, Sonny. Okay. Hi, girls. It's seed planting time.
That's 65 pregnant students, more than 6 who didn't get an abortion. The school board has just voted to update its sex education program, quoting one parent, if we had math books from 1988, I'd be furious. Oral exam apparently has a different meaning at Ozen High School in Beaumont, Texas. In fact, they had a club for it called 3K.
Oh, no.
Not what you think, Rob.
Oh, my.
The 3Ks in this case stood for Coochie Kissing Click.
In this clique, ninth and tenth grade girls would do upperclassmen and alumni and a former assistant football coach.
Doesn't clique really start with a C if we're talking about like being in a clique? I realize they're just being kooky and clever. You could say clever is also spelled with a K if you like, but but to be an absolute hard ass about it.
Yeah. I think they're just having...
Is it C-L-I-Q-U-E?
It is.
Yes, it is.
The,
now, the whole thing started with that dumbass glue.
Oh, crazy glue. With
yeah.
K-R-A-Z-Y.
Yeah. They're responsible.
People having fun with the English language.
Bob is shaking his head. You're, in your giant brain, you have another example that is...
A much better one.
A much better one?
Krispy Kreme.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Double K.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, even Coochie, I think, technically starts with a C.
And I blame Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. That sounds like something they would say to each other.
Yes.
Ready to join the Coochie kissing clique?
Anyway, they're in Canton, Ohio, 40-year-old Tommy Floyd Granger and 25-year-old Byron Allen Bell have been arrested. The police believe they also now have the names of all of the 14- and 15-year-olds.
Byron Allen, genius.
Yes.
Oh, comedy real genius. People.
Canton, Ohio, K-A-N-T-O-N.
There you go.
Thank you.
Who knew that NBC's Dateline...
Krusty the Clown, both spelled with K-R-U-S-T-Y-K-L-O-W-N.
Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
Cool. Really starts with a C.
Yeah, K.
Thank you, bud.
Right. You have been one of the
Absolutely.
First.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Incredible! Who knew that NBC's Dateline series on Kid Touchers would sprout a cottage industry in this country? A couple of, in Carrollton, Texas, are accused of preying on the predators. Mike Barnett and Maria Cattini, both in their early 20s, decided to set up a sting operation just like the ones on TV.
Okay.
Online, she pretended to be 15 years old. But see, their idea was... to only turn the perv over to police if he failed to pay them the blackmail money. The fact that Mike wielded a baseball bat helped this threat considerably. The couple's been doing this for nearly 6 months
Hold
now.
Hold on, so let me just get this straight. So they get on the on computer, and they get a perv to come over, and they say, we're going to turn you in if you don't give
us... pay us the money,
X amount of dollars.
We'll either introduce you to Mr. Louisville Slugger or to the police officer. And they've been doing this for about 6 months.
Do you know what that silence was, ladies and gentlemen? That silence was Don and Mike and their moral dilemma.
Which of these?
As we both were processing whether something is right or wrong.
Which of these?
That's horrible.
You do love baseball.
And I like money.
So now the couple...
Part of a team.
Team.
Part now, of hey, a team.
And you'll agree with me. Got the solution.
What?
You take the cash and you use the baseball bat.
Yeah. There you go.
Bingo.
You take the cash. Yes.
Yeah, everybody's happy.
You can have it.
But what do you do with the bodies then?
Yeah, then it's a bigger deal.
It's always something.
Then you gotta get a saw.
Yeah, you gotta put them in the chipper.
Then you gotta get that big knife. You gotta go to Joe Pesci's house.
Take the cash, spelled K-A-S-H.
Send them to your mortuary in Georgia.
Yeah, the one where you just leave the body
there. Never
be
seen again. Well, now the couple's in jail facing charges of extortion and, ironically, sex crimes. A lot of us think we could write a pretty good sex book. Another web survey shows that...
Sex book.
68% of us think our lives are interesting enough for a book. 23% of us say we could teach the rest of us a thing or two about sex. More than a third of 25 to 34-year-olds think they're experts on sex. Interestingly, older people not so sure of themselves.
I got my title already.
Really?
It's where food comes out.
That really wouldn't be an instruction book as much as a kind of a...
I mean, listen, it would be a very short pamphlet. It'd be like, knock yourselves out.
Right.
Whatever you want. You want to stand on your head.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put it in her ear. Mm-hmm. You know, knock. You want to do it in her feet. Knock yourself out. But remember, when you eat food, this is where it comes out. Watch it. As Tom would say.
Or as Little Richard would say.
That'd be a book or more of a pamphlet.
Oh, look out! That's look it. Out!
There you go.
That'd be a pamphlet that would have to have drawings.
A glossy.
Stick figures. Like caveman stuff. Like the stuff that you would find in a cave. Right. Go wait, look, wave, you know, B.C.
Ironically, in a cave.
And it'd be a little circle, like going into the mouth, and then little circles coming out of the bad area. Right, like when you were a kid. Who didn't make those drawings, too? Much comedy would ensue with the stick figure and the tiny little circles simulating poop.
You know what? You could even do a flip book.
A flip book. Yeah, you can make it actually.
Do it, yeah.
Animated.
Like too. Steamboat Willie. Hi, I'm Walt Disney. I'm frozen now.
Look at the stick figure. Lick me. With the circles coming out of the bad spot.
The survey found that Southerners are more confident about their sexual knowledge than Yankees.
That's right.
Study found that blacks are the most confident. Hispanics came in second. Okay. Whitey came in third. The study found...
Ain't that always the truth, huh?
Men,
welcome to the new America. Whitey come in third.
At anger.
Men are more confident than women about their sexual know-how. Nearly a third of all men say they could write a sex manual.
Sex book.
Sex book.
Does breast milk from one woman taste differently than breast milk from another woman?
Yes.
No need to continue.
What's next?
We'll soon find out. An artist in Canada set up a breast milk bar. She's calling it the Lactation Station.
You got to go to Canada now.
I'm an investor, Mike.
At her bar, anyone who wants to stop by and sample up to six different contributions, each of them pasteurized for your protection.
And a lot of times, well, depending on the woman, do you get a milk mustache? But sometimes you actually get a hair in there in your milk mustache.
Not if it's pasteurized, like you said, though. It's pasteurized. It's decontaminated for your protection.
I get mine right out of the tap.
I know, that's the way you like it.
Right out of the tap. Just like that magazine cover that Buzz gave me. That's got that little baby with his mouth open.
Yeah.
Going right up by Ma's nip.
Oh, baby Donnie. You'd like this. It's like a wine tasting. The samples are free. The artist...
Imagine that, like the movie Sideways, where these two guys just go out and all they want to do is drink breast milk for a whole week.
And it's just substitute the wine. That's all you have to do.
Paul Giamatti sitting at that bar, swirling around a big glass of breast milk like this, going... And they're going... Oh... That is marvelous. We will have a bottle of that.
Very buttery.
And he gets the bad one, and he goes, I don't think this breast milk has been destemmed.
Oh!
Yeah. Fruity, not good.
Mm-hmm.
The artist says she's not worried about running out of milk. Quoting her, the women donated generously, and people are going to be tasting small quantities.
God bless them.
The exhibit, it's commerce. It's not commerce. It's art. It opens this month in Ontario. Quoting the artist, who seems to know, no two women's milk taste the same.
Okay, hello, Captain Obvious.
Now you know.
I told you that.
But Ossifer, I wasn't even driving. That story when we continue.
Okay.
Number 4, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been
so incredibly fascinating.
Yeah,
and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Don and Mike Show. Thanks for listening, fat ass. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Amen to that. And now here's Buzz. Just putting on his headphones. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Finally, taking your kid out for a night of drinking does not make you the world's best dad.
Hello.
Despite what you might think.
Hi, Julia.
Right.
Like with the 33-year-old Albert Boyce Jr. of Pennsylvania. Last month, he drove his pickup truck into a tree. Inside, police found an open 30-pack of Bud and a clearly intoxicated Albert.
30-pack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Al tried an interesting legal defense, I thought. He said his kid was driving. He claimed his 4-year-old son was sitting on his lap and doing the actual driving.
Hello.
Now poor Albert faces a string of charges. So obviously, the kid was driving. Not the best defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No.
So you tell me the kid stays in the picture.
Yay. Who's that?
Robert somebody.
Yeah, the Evans.
Yeah. The guy with big glasses.
Robert Evans.
It's like Buzz in 5 minutes.
Hollywood producer. Produce The Godfather.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You should Google him tonight.
I will.
He's you in 5 minutes.
You don't know anything about that dude?
No.
You'll love him.
Yep. You've never seen that thing? It might as well be your life story, for God's sake.
I haven't seen it.
Really, watch it this weekend. We got to fly. Good day to you, sir.
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 All right, Kong, have a good weekend.
You too. And you know, Robert, he's a horrible driver. That's why I never let him drive.
The 8th wonder of the world!
All right, love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Right here. Right here.
Number 4, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.